This week, No Man's Sky rolled out a significant visual overhaul. What other game has produced a groundswell of hype, came out 2 years later to mixed but generally negative acclaim, and persisted with notable content and other updates for the next 5 years? I haven't seen this outside of an MMO, and graphically speaking, I haven't seen this in an MMO either. This is the headline about a total makeover. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again after a little break last week with episode number 871 of our show for this June the 6th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I have no idea why my camera went itty-bitty on Twitch. We do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And sometimes live weird things happen, and I think something is going on. There was a new version.
You're not supposed to be recording vertical video. That is a big faux pas,
right? I don't know what's. I think it has something to do. There's a brand new OBS that just came out between the time we did our last show and this one, and I think it did something to like resetting the webcam specs. So I will just have to get that sorted. But at least you can see my co-hosts. They look fine as we're taping live on Twitch, such as Techmaster Loki, who popped in there. Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
And, of course, let's not forget the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Jamie?
I'm okay. I'm tired.
Tired? Well, you've been going, like, out and about these last few days, right?
Well, I had... Okay, so, first of all, I had a sister event that I thought was next week that was actually yesterday, but I had taken yesterday off.
Uh-huh.
So, I took Becky to San Francisco for her birthday, a late birthday present, so that she could, as she said... not be a mom for a day.
I like that.
And so we hung out in the Castro, and yay, it was Castro during Pride Month, so it was nuts.
Oh, I bet.
And then we went to, we ate at Cafe Mystique, which is really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Japantown because I needed to go to Kinokuniya for a kanji book. And then I needed to go to Nijiya. Now, Nijiya Market, it's already really small, but they've really adapted to the whole COVID thing. There were lines outside of everything, even to get into Daiso, so it was kind of nuts. And
oh my
finally,
gosh.
We were just like, let's go. But all that walking with my back and my other condition,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the time we got back, I was dead beat.
And now I turned into huge Rob, but at least I figured out what the issue was. There we go. All right. I'll fix that, guys. Sorry. I know this is like the
you
most
You just had your mushroom.
Yeah, apparently.
Moving around the entire time. Yeah.
What was that?
I said just keep moving it around the entire episode.
Exactly. Now I'll be big Rob. Now I'll be small Rob. See, we love our folks who listen on the podcast feed. Of course, you can download Orange Lounge Radio in your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, which just got a big update recently. Spotify, which has been getting more and more into podcasts. We're on a few others, too. You can download us in those apps. But, we moved over to Twitch like a couple years ago doing our show live on Sunday nights. And sometimes, unfortunately, on the podcast, you just miss these funny little visual things that happen. But I think I fixed myself. How does it look, you guys? Hopefully it looks good in our chat because we do, again, tape live on Sunday nights, and we have our chat room, which is
better.
Over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And Sia Tabiri in chat says, Giant Rob is going to nom 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 the co-host. Yes, you see, there's Pac-Man, and then there's Super Pac-Man, and then there's Pac-Man. Super Pac-Man. Okay, I'll stop. All right, anyway. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight and talk about some things that we missed in gaming last week. First off, I hope you guys had a good week off. Dark Soccer, I know you've been on some adventures the past few days. Also, you were here streaming last week, right? Not here
yes,
on
was.
VOG, but on your own channel, right?
Yeah. I was playing Dead by Daylight like I normally do. And I had a really good stream. It was nice actually doing it a little bit earlier that night.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
It was It was pretty cool.
Loki, did you do anything special with the long weekend? Which, by the way, I know some people took some heat for saying, like, you know, there was some political thing where somebody said, have a good weekend or have a good long weekend. And I understand it's Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is not a happy holiday. But it does kind of share the distinction this last year of being a three-day weekend as, you know, America and, you know, other parts of the world are getting to the other side of this COVID thing. And we're seeing numbers really start to drop. And I think there were a lot of people wanting to really get some normalcy back. So I think, you know, yes, even though Memorial Day is a holiday that, you know, is a little bit morose because we have to, you know, be thankful to those that gave their lives for the freedoms that we experience in this country. This particular long weekend we just had was the first time in a very long time that many of us got to enjoy some of those freedoms. So I think there's a little bit of sharing going on. So, you know, I hope people understand why I still say, I hope you had a good long weekend, because you know what? It's the first long weekend we've really been able to get into in a very long time. But Loki, sorry for digressing, but how was your long weekend?
I am pretty sure I was just playing Minecraft.
You've been doing a lot of Minecraft, and I saw some cryptic tweets. Would you care to explain yourself, or do you want to do this later in the show?
No, we can talk about it now. Yeah, it's fine.
Let's talk about it now, because even I don't know what the fuck you're talking about with your tweets, and I gotta know.
And this is probably going to be lost on you guys. But so I am a huge fan of, I mean, there's a lot of people that are huge fans of this group, but there's a server called Hermitcraft. They're like probably some of the most famous Minecraft players out there. I mean, they've been running this server for years now. And I mean, they're kind of all streamers. They all work together. They kind of have this unique community where they can collaborate and just do all these different projects and stuff. So it's real exciting. So obviously, as of recent, you know, getting back into Minecraft and stuff, one of my goals, albeit impossible, would be to someday be on Hermitcraft, to be able to join them on the server as a member, which is like, yeah, get in line with all the other people that want to do that. Like every single content creator out there that like does Minecraft stuff wants to do that. I get that. And that's like, it's just astronomically whatever. It's fine. The only reason I want to is because like they seem like really cool people just to play with. Like that's it. That's really the only reason. It's not like because I want to, you know, play with them because they're famous or anything. It's because they just seem really cool and like this would be a fun group of people to play Minecraft with.
So is the punchline you got in?
No. Oh, God, okay. No.
Oh.
Yeah, that, me, like,
I thought that was the punchline. No. Okay.
That's not the punchline. No, that would be hilarious. But no, that's absolutely not the punchline. So to kind of get to the point here. So one of I follow a lot of them in social media, and one of those folks that I follow is this guy who goes by Tango Tech. He's a big redstone guy, and he's done, you know, lots of videos and stuff like that. Well, they had a charity auction with one of the prizes being that I can have a one-on-one session with him. So obviously I bid, and obviously I won. So I'm going to have him come on one of my videos that's coming out pretty soon, like second or third episode next week. So next week I'm going to be playing with one of the members of Hermitcraft. It's got like a million followers on YouTube and stuff like that, to just invite him onto the server, show him around, show him what I did, and just kind of like work on a project together. So I think that's absolutely cool. Like, I'm going to pick his brain about content creation stuff. Just, I don't know. That really, I mean, it's like, you just got to get their attention. That's really like, if you want to like have any potential possible, first off, you have to have a channel that's of decent size, which mine is not. But don't
sell yourself short, Loki. You have been committed to that. You have something that a lot of content creators can only aspire to have, and that is that you've had the commitment to content creation. Meaning, you know, you've been doing this show with Jamie and I for, it's going to be 19 years this month. So don't, yeah. I mean, at the same time, well, I get it. Like, you know, I don't know the individuals directly that you're speaking of because I don't follow the Minecraft community, but I certainly follow other communities. When Dark Soccer and and I sit here and talk about, you know, oh, we're watching Dead by Daylight and we're watching Losing Color or something, you know, or you know, Deer or, you know, one of the big streamers here on Twitch. I don't expect that everybody necessarily knows those people, but, you know, those that are kind of in the community are like, oh, yeah, those are the people that really, like, dedicate themselves to, you know, streaming those types of things and so forth. So I think that's super cool that you're getting a chance to, and it sounds like for a charity reason, kind of get a chance to get this guy's ear a little bit, but don't ever think for a minute that he can't learn something from you too.
No, absolutely. And it's not necessarily like it. Okay. Aside from being able to play with the cool kids, as they put it in chat, it's also the, I so much hate the corporate job world. Like, I will do anything to get out of this thing. And like, I see that as like, this could possibly be an avenue to, like, you know, the YouTube stuff. Obviously, I don't know. It's just like the game creation stuff. Like, yeah, if I put my mind to it, but it's time. Like, a lot of these folks that do content creation as a full-time job, like, I can't put out that level of content because I'm working a daytime job as well, and I have a family, and it's so hard to cram that into the amount of time. But I will do the best I can. That's all I can really do.
That's
and it'll be fun. At the very least, it was benefiting the Seattle, the Seattle Shakespeare Society, so it was cool. Good to be able to put some money down towards that. But at the same time, yeah, it's great to be able to, you know, play with one of the hermits for a few hours. I mean, that hopefully it's not the last time, but, like, you know, at the very least, it's a cool experience. I'm glad I get to share it with the people on the server, because it's kind of like, you know, I really appreciate them, and I think they're all big fans, so for them it's just gonna blow their minds. And so I just am glad to be able to share that with them. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm just very excited. It's going to next week. So next week, I'm going to be filming that. I don't know. I have an episode that's coming out soon. I'm actually working on it. I was hoping to have it done this weekend. But, like, I have done a lot of building over the last weekend. Like, I think about, 12 to 14 hours worth of Minecraft building. So I had to compress that down and to time lapses and stuff. And so that's just a lot of work, but lots of planning. I am so nervous. I've got to plan all this stuff and just get everything ready to go for Saturday or Sunday.
Let's get that plug in one more time for your YouTube channel and let our listeners know, you know, you're serious about this stuff. You know, Dark Soccer, myself, we've plugged our Twitches enough. Let's and I'm sure we'll plug them again at some point tonight. But Loki, make sure, let's get your YouTube out there. And, yeah, you know, if you guys have any interest in Minecraft, even a passing interest in Minecraft, or just like Loki, you want to hear more of his stuff and this passion that clearly you have for it, where, you know, you're really taking this next level. Please check out Loki's YouTube, which is at.
It's Loki OLR is the username on there. I mean, that's pretty much me on any social. It's just going to be Loki OLR. So I've got a couple episodes out right now. I've got a third episode almost done, working on it right now. I'm guessing that this next episode with Tango, maybe episode 4 or 5. I haven't really decided yet, because there's going to be a lot of prep work coming up to it. Got a lot of stuff I got to clean up. So there may be an episode in between there. So it's going to be a 4 or 5. It's going to be. So, yeah, I got peak already at episode 5.
Stretch it out, Loki. Make his appearance like 4 episodes, trust me.
No, I can't. We'll see. We'll work it in there.
Or this is the foot in the door to get other content creators. And maybe maybe they're not as big as this individual. But
there's so many. Like, outside of Hermitcraft, there's so many people that would be fun to play with.
Yay.
It's just, I'm looking forward, is like, I know, I mean, like, we've done like the VOG network servers and stuff, and that's fine. And it was fun playing with you guys, but like, it's hard to, and even with like the people that I'm with now, it's hard to find a group of people that can play on a regular basis and that can dedicate time to that. And I know when I joined the server, the invite that was in the Minecraft forums was that they were looking for content creators to come on and make content together. And unfortunately, at this point, I'm like the only one doing that out of the group, which is fine. Like, they're still really cool people, and like, it's fun to play with them. But like, I wish it was more of that kind of content creation. There's other servers other than Hermitcraft. Like, I want to say, Epic SMP for a little bit, but that's another example. Also, big YouTubers, big Twitch streamers went together, played Minecraft, and that died off really fast because people lost interest and went to other things. So it's just, I want somebody to like want a group that will be dedicated to a long period of time playing this game at a level like where I'm at now, and being able to collaborate and stuff, more of that. Because I don't really do a lot of the voice chat with these folks, and it's just hard to – it's hard to record, too, because I'm in my kitchen. And, like, honestly, like, I really need a dedicated room, because it's hard recording all the voiceovers after the fact. And it would just be so much easier with just the editing process to do it all live and from the get-go. But I have to do what I can do within, you know, my limits. So,
well, a lot of folks in the chat, like they feel the enthusiasm. And I'm sure our podcast listeners, you know, even if it's like, oh, I don't really follow Minecraft at all, you can feel the enthusiasm coming off your voice. So I know this is going to be a good video, because you're obviously going to be putting like a lot of, you know, and all your videos are good because you're putting this type of passion into it. But this particular one, especially, because you can kind of hear that, you know, this could be like a jumping point for then, you know, maybe you get to collaborate with some other small and mid level content creators, which is great, that are looking for something that you're looking for. So this is great. Like, I'm excited for you. Yeah. I'm really excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If I may make a tiny suggestion.
Of course.
What some people do for recording is they'll have like tall like plywood and do a mini booth where you line it with the sound dampening foam. And then that way when you're ready to record, you just bust it out for those moments.
Well, right. I get that. It's not the audio quality that I'm worried about. It's the I'm in a kitchen with my children and my cat screaming, and they have like so that's what I'm talking about. It's like I just need another room in the house, which
Take
we don't
the
have
bathroom.
One. We have a bathroom. One that will not work. I need to build in a garage.
Are you on a laptop? Because you could come use the OLR. You could use Studio N7. We're vaccinated.
I'm
now.
On a laptop, but
well,
like
think about it.
It's I just need to build a room in the garage. Really, that's what it comes down to. But That's the hard part. It's like I even like trying to record voiceovers. I was trying to do that yesterday, and the cat, even though she has no sense of hearing, she has a sense of timing where she just knows that I'm doing a video conference or something. It's like comes in, starts screaming. I'm like, great, thank you for running my voiceover. It's like I don't know.
All right, well, fingers crossed. Right. But this also begs another question. Okay, so here we are in 2021, and I noticed there's lots of community things happening. So Loki, obviously, really, you know, starting to jumpstart these things he's doing with the Minecraft community and getting very involved with that. Dark Sakura, I can't watch a Dead by Daylight streamer on Twitch without running into you in chat anymore. And you've obviously doing a lot more streaming yourself and getting to know a lot of those people and that community. And I think making a name for yourself in the Dead by Daylight community. It just came out this week. VOG Network's own Bobby Blackwolf has been involved with the speedrunning community and doing awesome Games Done Quick. And Summer Games Done Quick is coming up. And did y'all know VOG Network's own Bobby Blackwolf is going to be doing the finale at Summer Games Done Quick this year. Is going to be hosting the Kingdom Hearts 2. And yes, it's not about the hosts, it's about the charity, it's about the speedrunners, but I still think that's so cool. You know, like just to even be like affiliated with that or whatever is just so cool. What do I have?
You guys have been streaming a lot of stuff. You and Alan. No. I mean, Alan's. No. I see
yes.
Alan on
yes.
all the time.
Alan has a lot of stuff, too. What do I have?
Rob.
Oh, that's Rob. Right. Okay. Pixel Paca's reminded me I won a fake Survivor game 2 years ago. That is right.
When the Resident Evil chapter comes out,
yeah,
I said that that would pop my Survivor cherry.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do a Swift with you and Alan.
Okay. I'm so down for that. Actually, I was doing a Swift with Alan, which means survive with friends. I was doing that with Alan the other night, and we had a good time. Yeah, I think playing together, we're also, I'm a higher rank survivor than him, and I don't know how that happened. I really don't. I shouldn't
I be. Just still think I'm going to suck at Survivor because I'm not altruistic.
Sia Tiberi in chat says, girl, you're amazing just the way you are. Thank you so much. No, and I swear I wasn't fishing for compliments. It was just a really funny opportunity for me to crack a joke. I have the DragonCon panel stuff coming up, and you know, as conventions come back, I'll do more and more of that panel hosting stuff. Live hosting is a thing I'm super into. So, you know, I'm teasing, but there are some things I'm into that I'm thrilled to be affiliated with. And honestly, I am giving some thought. I don't know if I should vocalize this on OLR, because if I do it, I'm committed to it. But I'm really giving a thought on dipping my toe back into really embracing retro games and doing more with retro stuff and NES classics that I grew up with. If any of you have followed my personal YouTube channel, then like 5-6 years ago, God, probably longer, I had started this concept of, you know, Let's Remember, where I would play some old games and really like not just like kind of talk, but really like do a deep dive into like memories with these old games. And, you know, a little different from like, you know, classic game or anything else, is that it's like I'm experiencing the game while kind of relishing in some of the memories of the game. And I'm really thinking about maybe bringing that back actually as like maybe a VOG project. I don't know. Maybe personal channel, maybe VOG. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But yeah, so that might be it. Maybe I'll get in more with the retro community. We'll see. We'll see. So, all right. SSJ 100 Matt in chat says, it's been a year plus for a lot of folks. Finding that inspiration is harder or easier for some folk. And of course, differently. You do you. Yeah. I think that's very good advice. It really is. Okay. Ooh, so that was a long intro. We still haven't even gotten to our kickoff topic, but no, that was we needed that update from Loki. That's really exciting news. Let's talk about some of the news we missed last week. So we weren't here last week, obviously, and we missed some news. Although with E3 and Summer Game Fest and all that coming up in this next week, obviously the news has been a little bit light. Not just last week, but this week as well, just because a lot of the big announcements. Next week's show will be huge, but we're going to have a fun show tonight too. But next week's show, especially because you know, the Xbox Bethesda big event is in the morning. For years and years here at OLR, we've had to go up against Bethesda during E3. They're at the same time. But now that they're part of Microsoft, they're going in Microsoft's spot, so they're going to have a big event earlier in the day. So we'll have a lot to talk about on next week's show. In the last week, so before the week we were off, we did miss a few big things, and I want to talk about some of those. So one of them was the Dragon Quest 35th anniversary stream. Did anyone catch some of the headlines or some of the key stuff from this stream? Because there was some good stuff that came out of this, such as confirmation that Dragon Quest 12 is coming. It's called The Flames of Fate, and I believe the way they phrased it was that it's going to be
Fabulous Flames of Hate?
No, it's not the Fabulous Flames of Hate, but it's a more adult version of Dragon Quest, apparently, which is an interesting way. And I wonder if that's sort of a thing where it's like, well, you know, a lot of you have kind of grown up with this series. It also kind of made me think of like Yakuza Like a Dragon, where like growing up with Dragon Quest has been a sort of a plot device. So not that I'm saying the Dragon Quest 12 is going to be like Yakuza, but I can't help but feel like maybe some of the creative direction to kind of make it a more adult series is because of Dragon Quest's influence in mainstream as well as gaming culture. I think it could be interesting. So, Mike Deft in chat, who's gone through a rebrand recently, it appears, says it's going to be a more dark adult Dragon Quest. I'm okay. You know what? Dragon Quest has had a very cartoony look for a long time, and I realize that's a hallmark of the franchise, but I'm okay with them going a little bit of a darker direction with it. I think that could be interesting. I just hope they get a new composer. Let's see, what else do we have with Dragon Quest? Dragon Quest 3 is getting an HD remake, and it looks really good. It's a 2D remake, and it looks really good. And that has a lot of people going, why can't they do this to the Final Fantasy or Chrono Trigger series as well? Hey, well, you know what? If this sells really well, I bet they'll consider it. So, I mean, you know, if this is at all interesting to you, you might want to buy it. Yuji Horii apparently considering giving Dragon Quest 1 and 2 the same treatment. So fingers and toes crossed on that. There were some other things announced. I think the other big thing for me, I'm not going to talk about everything they said in that, but I think for me, Dragon Quest X Offline was announced. So Dragon Quest X has been an MMO. It's been online, right? And I think they're getting a new version 6 expansion even. It's still going. But we have yet to experience it in America. They didn't say that Dragon Quest X Offline is coming to America, but in my head, I'm like, that's how they're going to do it. They get this game out and they can localize it, and that's how we'll get Dragon Quest X here in America. I think. I'm jumping to conclusions a little bit, but the news of a Dragon Quest X Offline coming is pretty exciting, I think. So we'll see. Any interest from you guys in playing an offline version of Dragon Quest X? I mean, I'd love to play the online one, but I think the reality is never going to be localized or available to come out here.
I'm not really a Dragon Quest fan, so probably not.
I haven't played Dragon Quest since Dragon Quest Wii.
You should check out 11 isn't bad, but you know, it had some things that, you know, but I think this direction they're going with 12 will be a great thing for the series. They didn't announce what platforms 12 is going to be on, though, which was interesting. Usually they tell us pretty early, so we don't know if it's a Switch game, PlayStation 5 game, or what, or an Xbox game. You know, we don't know. So stay tuned for more information on that, I suppose. So let's see. So other news that we missed last week. The Dragon Quest announcement was the big one. Sonic also had a stream on May 27th, and they're going to be doing like an orchestral Sonic performance during Summer Game Fest. I think that's coming up in the next few days. And there's a compilation called Sonic Origins that's going to be coming to the more current systems. Sega loves to put their retro stuff, especially Sonic, on consoles every single time, so this really shouldn't be a surprise, but it'll be nice. Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, the official video game, got a new Sonic the Hedgehog costume. So
it looks so ridiculous.
The game for the Olympics that didn't happen when they were supposed to happen.
And this is the official Olympics games, not like Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. So yes. That's why it's ridiculous.
Yes, that's why it's ridiculous. And then obviously the big thing that had everybody talking, a teaser for a new mainline Sonic game. No title. We know it's 2022. We know it's going to be on the Switch. But that's about all we know as of right now. So we're just kind of fingers and toes crossed. It's a little more, what was it, Sonic Mania, and a little less Sonic the Hedgehog Part 4.
Well, then they said the update for Sonic Colors. So Sonic Colors Ultimate was something else.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think I missed that in the list. Thank you. So
yeah, because I did watch this, actually, because I caught it. Like, it happened to pop up on my YouTube feed. But it's interesting. Just the new Sonic game they teased sounded interesting. Sonic Colors I never really played because that was, I think that was a, was that a Wii U game? I can't remember, but it looks good. You know, good remaster, I guess.
Some other announcements from the week we were off. There is a Kunio Kun, which of course you might know as like the River City Ransom, Super Dodgeball type of games, that's going to be doing a 35th anniversary project. So that then those games, they kind of re-released not that long ago as well. So it's nice to see that there's still a lot of love for that series. Super Bomberman Online cross Fall Guys. Going to be a crossover going on there. Shiva will be joining Streets of Rage 4 in the Mr. X Nightmare DLC. And probably the other biggest headline from last week when we were off, no BlizzCon this year. Blizzard announced they're not going to be doing a BlizzCon this year, which is in contrast to some other. I mean, I don't know if this is because BlizzCon is in California, which has been a little slower to reopen, but some other conventions in this same week, such as DragonCon, have announced that they're essentially going, I don't want to say full steam ahead with the convention, but that in-person is part of their plan. I sort of have the gut feeling it'll still be kind of a different Dragon Con, and they're probably expecting less people because they are still pouring everything into having a virtual component as well. So people will have the choice between the two. I caught in chat earlier, MAGFest confirmed they're coming back in person January 2022. But Blizzard has decided not for them this year. So they're going to be doing an online event instead. And executive producer of BlizzCon in a statement, Sarah Lynn Smith said, "The ongoing complexities and uncertainties of the pandemic have impacted our ability to properly move forward on any of these fronts. And ultimately, we're now past the point where we'd be able to develop the kind of event we'd want to create for you in November. That's an interesting perspective, too, is that honestly, to do BlizzCon in November, that planning starts in like February or March. It takes a long time to put on a BlizzCon. So I can understand for sure the perspective of they don't want to do all this planning and then, oh shit, September, October, a variant is loose or something. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but we have to be prepared mentally that it might. So, and then they just got to shut down BlizzCon all over again. And I can sort of see where maybe they also just don't have a lot to say because they've already had to kind of delay stuff, right? We know Diablo 4, not till next year. Overwatch 2, not till next year. Diablo 2, we get this year. But we had a virtual BlizzCon, March? which was kind of delayed from last November. So maybe they're just not ready. And but they will be doing a virtual BlizzCon line instead. They're also talking about smaller in-person gatherings, and that's kind of interesting too, that maybe they'll have like satellite meetups and stuff like that. But keep an eye on that. So no BlizzCon 2021, but a BlizzCon line sounds like it'll be a thing. SSG100 Matt in chat says, kind of wish they pushed MAGFest to February again because everyone liked February MAG. Yeah, consider me one of those people. But I don't know if realistically January MAGFest can be in the cards for me. I don't want to rule it out yet, but there's a lot going on personally where I don't think it's going to be a great idea for me. And when I can tell you more about what's going on, I think you'll understand. I hope Mag West comes back next summer, because I'd like to go to that for a change. That'd be nice. So, all right. Let's move on. We've talked about what happened last week in gaming. Let's talk a little bit about the next week before we get into our gaming weeks. We've kind of mentioned a couple times now, but just another reminder, it's E3 week coming up. And this year we also have Summer Game Fest happening at the same time. So you have kind of two big events happening. And that means all these other smaller events that are going on for really the summer. Here's some things to look forward to in the coming weeks. The official Battlefield reveal. I think we'll be talking a little bit more about this later in the show, but I'll just say quickly, more information on the next Battlefield game, June 9th or Wednesday. That's at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Summer Game Fest, 11 a.m. Pacific time, and that would be 2 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. This will be Jeff Keighley's event, so the people that brought you the Game Awards. Weezer is going to be playing for whatever reason.
Yay.
But yeah, that's cool. Weezer's cool, whatever.
Weezer's awesome.
Folks like the studio behind Among Us will be unveiling something. Could that be a new map? Could that be a new game? Don't know. We'll see. But check that out. That will all be on Thursday. Also, another Jeff Keighley event as part of Summer Games Fest will be on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon. This is a Jeff Keighley and Netflix collaboration. And as you guys know, Netflix has really been dipping their toe into gaming, right? The Witcher does well, and which technically The Witcher was a book, but I think we all know the look of this. Yeah, obviously, the fact that it was a game really propelled it to being a series. And so now Netflix, between that and the Castlevania anime doing well, like Netflix is like full on fucking gaming media now, like all these, which is great.
Have you seen the brand new trailer? Like, I'm not a huge fan of Dynasty Warriors, but that trailer.
No, I didn't.
Man, it's a live action, like, it's a live action Dynasty Warriors, and it's amazing. It takes me back to when I used to go to Fanime and watch all the late night, like, Kung Fu Hong Kong cinema stuff.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's so amazing. Like, okay. I need to watch that.
Okay. Check this out. This is what's on the list for them to talk about at this Netflix event on Friday. Cyberpunk 2077, because there's that Edgerunners anime that's happening. Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed, Devil May Cry, Dota 2, League of Legends, Beyond Good and Evil, Dragon's Dogma, Sonic the Hedgehog, which I don't think that's related to the movie, but I guess there must be a series I completely forgot about, or an anime or something.
It was part of the Sonic event that they talked about. They're doing a new series that's based on Colors, or the Sonic Colors stuff.
Well, there you go. That's a lot. That's a lot of media based on video games. And they're saying more probably some new announcements out of this as well. That things we don't even know about yet. Come on, Tron. I guess Tron was really a movie before it was a game, but they could fit it in there and get away with it, right? Also, Tron would really be Disney Plus, so I'm really rooting for the wrong thing. I just love Tron so much. Okay,
they had an awesome animated Tron series, and then
they
canceled it. Like, they canceled my movies.
Maybe. Okay. All right. You really want to get tinfoil hat? You really? Okay. Here we go. Making my predictions. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Here we go. How about that long, long rumored Zelda series for Netflix? Mm. Wouldn't that be the thwack on the table for all of E3?
That's just like, that's so like IGN April Fool's Day content right there. Like, I've already been disappointed too many times with that. Like, I don't. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. SSG100 Matt in chat says Half-Life 3 the movie. Hey,
I mean, might as well. We're throwing out all these impossible things. Sure, why not?
Why not? Why not? All right.
Portal 3, the movie.
Getting into some other stuff. Okay, so then E3 star. Oh, actually, I want to shout out the Wholesome Direct because I think that's really adorable, and it's an indie thing. We love our indies. That is on Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific. I have to do math in my head. 1 p.m. Eastern. That is at wholesomegames.com. 75 feel-good indie games. That's if you want to wrap yourself up in indie games and give yourself a hug, Wholesome Direct on Saturday. Ubisoft, 11 a.m. on Saturday. Don't know exactly what they'll be talking about. I guess Trackmania and surely some new games in their other franchises as well. I'm sorry, the pre-show is at 11. The show is at noon. So there's two Ubisoft shows. So Devolver Digital. We'll be doing things on Saturday at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. Devolver Digital, they're crazy and in a good way, and I think they'll be a lot of fun to watch. Their E3 thing last year was the best thing. That like first person exploring thing that they did. Did you guys already forget about that? That game they released on Steam that was like their E3. That was the best thing ever. That was awesome. Gearbox is doing something on Saturday, but we don't know when. We do know that there were those little teasers from the Borderlands movie. So I don't know if maybe something's crossing over there, but we saw the very shadowy figures of the actors in their costumes. So, Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, Xbox and Bethesda. That's going to be a big one. I'm very excited for that. I'm hoping we can simulcast it here at VOG, that they will allow us to do a co-stream. If so, I will be on there, and whoever else, I'm sure Bobby will join me, and Loki and Dark Soccer are more than welcome if they want to do some running commentary with that. That's if we are allowed to co-stream. If they do not give express permission for that, then we'll just be in chat and host it and give our reactions that way. So that'll be fun. The PC Gaming Show. This show has been kind of garbage. I'm going to be honest. Not usually a lot to look forward to. Will this be the year they change it around? Maybe. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Loki, am I right? The PC thing is usually kind of stupid.
Right? Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's, they need to kick it up a notch. Square Enix ought to be a little more exciting, and that will be at, this is an odd time, 12:15 Pacific, 3:15 Eastern on Sunday as well. So that's kind of cool. And then that's it for the big ones on Sunday. And then let's see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Warner Brothers still is TBA, so they might do something. I don't know. Limited Run Games, so I'm sure they're going to put together some more cartridges you have to own. That is going to be at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern on Monday. Take Two is going to do something on Monday. Capcom is doing something on Monday. And then we get to Tuesday, the Nintendo Direct. This is going to be one for the ages. Hopefully, we're not hyping it up too much, but I hope this is it. Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific.
To hear about all of the Pikmin games. All of them. Like Pikmin, they're going to announce Pikmin 5 through 20. It's just going to be one after another. Pikmin, Pikmin, Pikmin.
I think they really, and I you know, I don't like to set the bar. They have to update us on Breath of the Wild 2. Like, they have to. I'm sorry.
Prime 4 and all the other games that they've teased.
You know what? The Zelda one is more important, in my opinion. Like, the Zelda one, they have to update people on that. At least they do that, I think they can get away without saying Bayonetta 3 for another Direct. But I think there's a huge expectation. We've got to get an update on Breath of the Wild 2. And I fully understand we might not get it, but there's that.
They'll come out on the next console.
Now, Bobby is also saying, note the Nintendo Direct is just about software. That's a good reminder. Uh-huh. In their tweet, they said software only. And all these things have said Switch Pro, it's going to be revealed Thursday. No, it's going to be revealed Friday. Well, guess what? It still ain't fucking here. So this is a big red flag that maybe Nintendo is not doing the Switch Pro this year. And I think we all need to maybe. And you know what, Loki? I think we have to give them credit if they made this decision. Maybe they realized they weren't going to be able to make enough of them because of all these hardware shortages. And so they've decided not to try this year.
You assume they learned something. They didn't learn anything. They're just good. They'll still announce it. It'll be like so far in the future and they still won't have it. It could be a perfect world where we're literally drowning in silicon and they would still find some way to short that thing. Like, I don't buy for one second that no matter when they announce it, that there won't be shortages and they will be completely incompetent with their, you know, retail flow or whatever. I just, whatever.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, so let me ask this. Why do we need an update on Breath of the Wild 2? It's been a long time. And I know you're not going to accept that answer because Nintendo can really put this out whenever they want and people will eat it up. But I think to an extent, the Zelda fan base is very loyal. It's very large. Breath of the Wild really propelled the Switch to its early success. Even though it was a Wii U game, it made, you know, it really made its case for the Switch very well. And I almost think to go this long without giving the fans even a peek at what's going on, I think is starting to insult the fan base. I'm gonna just be very clear. And I know that answer is gonna be controversial but I think with things having gone on this long, to not even give a peek or an update or a hint of what's going on or what to expect or what the game's going to look like or what I think it's just insulting at this point if we go past another year. Because when did they I can't even remember when they did the first reveal. Was it the Games Awards 2018 or something like that? I don't know. Anyway. Bobby in chat says, I've never heard of someone not buying a game because they didn't get an update at a specific time. Again, I understand that at the end of the day, they're going to release the game. They could just say, oh, it's out tomorrow, thwack, and it'll still sell pretty good. But will it sell Breath of the Wild good or will it sell Skyward Sword good? I don't know. Anyway. All right. There is something you're underestimating, though, Bobby, who says, I would have bought Breath of the Wild 2 when it came out, but since they didn't give us any info at E3 2020, I'm not. Pre-orders. And the industry puts a lot of stock in that. So, anyway, I'm going to move on. I want to see if there's anything else on the list. Usually Nintendo is kind of the end of, like, the big E3 week, but I guess Bandai Namco is also doing something on Tuesday. We just don't know what time. Elden Ring is still sort of that. It's hanging out there. We don't really know, like, what's going on with that. Who knows? There is a Steam Next Fest starting on Wednesday. So Valve doing a virtual festival that will have demos and things like that within the Steam store. Who knows if they'll be doing anything themselves within Steam. That is on the 16th. As we start to get further and further out, we get to Wednesday, the 23rd of June, where the Sonic Symphony Orchestra, that before mentioned Sonic Stream earlier in the show, that is actually happening on June 23rd. The Microsoft Windows reveal is happening on June 24th. And then, of course, Summer Games Done Quick starts on the 4th of July. And let's see, what else do we have way out? Oh, EA Play is July 22nd. So lots and lots to look forward to throughout the summer. But it's going to be a busy week next week. And especially as we get into the week after that as well. So we're going to finally be talking about a lot of new games in the coming weeks here at OLR. But for now, let's talk about the games that we have been playing this past week. Or I suppose 2 weeks, if you want, in the segment called How Is Your Gaming Week? Let's go to Dark Sakura.
I have been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight. I'm trying to get better. And I'm trying to get that face thing for Plague at the end of the third, whatever the tome thing is.
Oh, yeah.
What it's called.
Yeah.
The Rift.
Yeah.
The Rift. And I've, of course, been playing Fantasian. Really enjoying Fantasian. Just trying to explore and take my time with it while, you know, I've got folks watching. I've been playing Wordscape still. I'm playing Animal Crossing. So those are all my usuals. I'm actually going to be trying down the line some Mario 64 ROM hacks. I haven't decided which one I want to start with, but those are going to be coming up as soon as I can get something that will work on my Mac.
Nice.
Oh, and Guns N' Roses Pinball.
Of course, Pinball.
Of course, Pinball.
All right. Let's move on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week was, like I said, you know, it's pretty much been Minecraft. I did play occasionally some Orna when I go places. But that's pretty much it. It's just been Minecraft.
You've really been pouring a lot into Minecraft, huh?
Yes, this week, so like I built my shop in our shopping district, which is enormous, so that'll be in the next video. And there was another community challenge was the One Chunk Build Challenge, so I built a giant redstone roller coaster in that, and so it's incredibly elaborate, also in the video. So that'll be coming soon. You can see all the stuff I worked on this week.
All right. Let's see, my gaming week. A lot of the same stuff, honestly. Still been going in Dead by Daylight myself. Got my Survivor up to rank 8, so I feel like which is weird because I don't have all the talents you really need, but I've gotten pretty good at hunting totems, and for better or for worse, when Haunted Ground is in play, for those that play the game, and I'm getting really good at evading. I'm sorry, not like looping. When I get in the chase with the killer, I kind of start to flop. I need to get better at looping killers, although at the killer shack, I'm getting better, because that's like the easiest place to loop a killer, so I'm getting better at looping at killer shack. And if you don't know what all this stuff means, watch one of Dark Sakura's streams or one of the many people that stream Dead by Daylight here. Or one of these days, I'll finally freaking stream. Alan Alchemy, of course, my husband, does a lot of great streams too with Dead by Daylight. I'm getting a little better with that, but I'm pretty good at being stealth in the first place and just not getting caught by the killer. However, you don't get a lot of points by doing that. And I wish the game did reward stealth play a little more, but you really have to be like willing to rescue people from hooks and be what they call altruistic in the game to really up your points. So I've been playing that. I've also been playing, of course, Final Fantasy XIV still. I did Pokemon Go Community Day today. There was a huge Pokemon Go Community Day today. It was Gible, which is one that the fans, you know, it's a pretty rare to spawn Pokemon. And I think this is one that the fans have been requesting for some time. So I think this was a good time with, you know, COVID restrictions starting to ease. And of course, outdoor activity is, you know, really safe, you know, at least if you listen to the CDC. This was a great day to do that, to kind of like welcome people back to Pokemon Go. I caught 10 shinies in like 90 minutes, and that was enough for me. I already had 2 shiny Gibbles, so I was a little sad that those got devalued, but that's all right. I caught 10 more shinies and decided to call it a day. By the way, if you want to know, oh, yes, and I think, Mike Deft in chat says, I went all Shane and got 42. Oh, y'all want to hear the text message from Shane? Hold on, I got it. Ended at 59. I wanted one more so he could have a nice round number, I suppose. 59 shinies that guy caught. Wow. I was fine with 10. That was enough for me. I don't know what I would do with 59 shinies. So, all right. But Gible, I do love the shiny Gible. And remember, for those that know Shane, the shiny Gible is blue, which is also, you know, another.
Oh, well,
thing
that
there.
Says it all right there.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Exactly. So there's that. And I played a little more Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which I know I popped off, as the kids say, a couple weeks ago. But since we had the end of May in the last, you know, week, last 2 weeks, I had about 70 gigs left in my bandwidth for the month. So I was like, all right, let me grab this Mass Effect Legendary patch. You know, I was behind on my patches, so I had like, I don't know, 11 or 12 gigs to download. So I downloaded that patch and then continued my adventures in Mass Effect 1. I was having a fine time with it, trying to grind some of the achievements and things like that. And the Mass Effect 1 does play so much better. Like, it's a great time to jump in and experience the trilogy if you've never played before. I would still maybe give it another couple months just to make sure they're not going to do any more patches. But I think this is it's getting there, I suppose. What was I going to say with that? Shane had texted me. Apparently, there are still bugs. He sent me a video where he got his character stuck in the Citadel and was like bouncing around and stuff. So it's still got its issues, but I didn't find them for whatever it's worth. And I don't know if the average player will, but so I did play a little more Mass Effect Legendary Edition, you know, since I had the bandwidth to download the patch. I don't know when I'll be able to start 2 and 3 since I cannot install from the discs. So we'll have to see how the bandwidth looks this month, but at least it's only a 30-day month. There's that. All right. I guess that's that for my gaming week. So I don't really have any other housekeeping or news of note. So I think we will get into. Oh, I guess I should say for the housekeeping segment, we are collecting channel points over at our Twitch stream over at VOG Network. And if we get enough points, which on the current trajectory, I think we will, we are going to present a special stream for folks at VOG Network. It's going to be Orange Lounge Radio Episode 1 with commentary from myself, Dark Sakura, and Loki. And that should be interesting because Episode 1 is probably not a great piece of media. But I think it's a great opportunity for us to really look at how far we've come in the last 19 years and really talk about, you know, some of the stuff behind the formation of the show that maybe we haven't gotten into on the show before. I think it'll be a fun time to jump back and take a look. So tell some stories to the children of the olden days. Right, guys? All right. Anyhow.
The horror of me in my 20s.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hearing myself in my 20s is not something I'm looking forward to. And I already know we're going to say something that's going to be like, oh, God, I wish I hadn't said that or I wouldn't have said that today. I know there's going to be something in there that's going to make me do that. But I think that's also part of, I think looking back, acknowledging that and going, wow, I've grown since then is a good thing. I do. So we'll do that. So, all right. Let's move on. Let's get into this week in gaming news, and I believe we start off with Loki.
Yeah, so we've got an announcement of a brand new mini console. This is kind of similar to the one that Sega put out a while back. That was the Sega Astro City cabinet. This one is a Taito Egret 2 Mini, and it's full of different games, classic games, obviously. They are going to have a 40 games in their total. They've only announced some of them so far. But, of course, big names like Space Invaders, Lunar Rescue, Kix, Elevator Action, Bubble Bobble, Rainbow Islands Extra, New Zealand Story. They also have several different like controller setups that you can get as well, which look kind of cool. And yeah, it's supposed to be priced at about 18,678 yen, which is about $170. And it's coming out next year, so March 2nd, 2022, in Japan, obviously.
All right.
But I did see the different, like, I want to say they had different, like, setups for, like, the actual control panel. So they even have, like, say, a, they called it the paddle and trackball games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they actually have a paddle and stuff in there, but Arkanoid's in there as well, and Arkanoid Returns. But yeah, pretty cool lineup.
Yeah, and I love the monitor thing. It's pretty cool. So
yeah.
I don't know how many arcade replicas I can fit in my house, but that does sound nice. Especially, you know, there's stuff coming up later, but Arcade 1-Up. But I mean, we all know that's a thing. Dark Soccer's got pinball machines to deal with as well. It's almost like there's too many big collectibles. All right. Let's talk about some virtual
too
things.
Too many or too little?
Yeah, never enough is the correct answer, I suppose. All right. Let's talk about things that are virtual in the game creating space. Facebook has made another purchase this week, which, you know, meh, I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, but this one at least makes a little bit of sense to me. I think even if you were kind of like, I don't understand why Facebook bought Oculus, even though I think that actually does make a lot of sense, but we're not going to retread that old ground tonight. This is an interesting one. So they've bought a game-making platform called, Unit 2 Games is who they bought. Unit 2 Games made something called Krayta. This is a collaborative game-creating platform that was built on Unreal Engine 4. It's actually in Google Stadia. Which I didn't realize at all. Maybe I didn't play around with Stadia enough. I doubt you've come across this. You're kind of the Stadia fan in the house, Dark Soccer, but I doubt you've come across this yet. Oh, maybe you did. I don't know. Krayta?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, have you played around with it at all?
No, it was free.
Oh, huh. I remember seeing some of like the previews and the trailers for it, so I thought it was interesting. But yeah, so it started as a Stadia exclusive, but now Facebook is going to be absorbing this team, and now Facebook has a part of the technology. However, in the FAQs that were posted about this acquisition, this team is not going to stop working on Crayta. The game will still continue to be available, so don't think that, oh, they're going to shut down the Stadia one and move it to Facebook or whatever it is, although I imagine Facebook is going to be getting its own version of this. But Facebook has purchased the company to make game creation more accessible and easy to use, and they're looking to integrate Crayta's creation toolset into Facebook Gaming's cloud platform to instantly deliver new experiences via Facebook. Now, keep in mind, in Crayta, you can make your own games. You know, it's kind of limited coding, whatever your comfort level is there. And then folks play the games. And you can, they can actually earn money for, or I'm saying you can earn money when they play your games. So that's kind of interesting, is that maybe there's going to be a whole little money-making thing there that Facebook wants to get in on. I don't know. Any thoughts on that with Facebook getting into that?
Sounds like Roblox.
It kind of does. It really does. Yeah.
I was thinking of something like that, something that is... You know, it all comes down to money anyway, but I think that they're trying to get in on the younger market.
Yes, that's for sure. Going to our chat, Legend of Zaku, welcome back, by the way, in chat says, I can't see how this is a plus for Facebook other than to milk it to holy hell. Well, if they see money in it, that's how it's a plus for Facebook. But I could see how they might want to integrate it within Facebook where it's like, imagine if you're scrolling on your Facebook feed, right? And one thing you scroll across is, hey, oh, here's Bobby Blackwolf who just posted an update. Check out my newest version of Flappy Vog. And now it's right there on the feed, and you can check that out. Or you're scrolling past, there's Loki. Here's Pixel Poops recreated in Crayta or YYR, whoever makes it. And you can play it in your Facebook feed. I kind of think that might be a direction that Facebook's going in with that. Just like I always thought, their Oculus acquisition was less about the games and more about they want to be able to deliver like experiences in VR. They want to be able to have a Facebook feed in VR, so to speak. I think that's where they really want to be a few years from now. Maybe not. It may be a hard thing to envision right now, but imagine if you... instead of reading somebody's update, got to experience somebody's update. I think that's where Facebook moves with Oculus, and I think that's where they
want to experience my updates.
And that's why I also kind of think like Facebook, it's a bit much, but I just feel like that's what that's where they're going with this. Is why not make why not make life updates experiences? And maybe you're not going to do it, Dark Soccer, but I bet there's a lot of people. You know, especially as more and more younger folks are growing up with things like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all integrated into culture, I bet there's people that are going to be more than willing to share stuff, maybe too much so, in this.
The thing is that people are getting away from Facebook. I mean, this is my thought of like them trying to find a way to bring people back, but
fair,
in the
fair.
End, their usage in certain demographics is way decreased.
Yeah, I guess
I don't
fair.
Think I've posted anything on Facebook other than, oh, we have OLR and I've done like Instagram stuff.
I rarely post to Facebook anymore myself because, you know, when I have a quick thought, Twitter's usually easier. But also just like and somebody was saying this on a podcast, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who was saying it or what podcast because I was absorbing a lot over the last couple of weeks and a lot of driving that I was doing. But somebody had said that, you know, Facebook was great when it was actually people's updates and pictures and things that were actually about people. But now you go on Facebook and all it is, it's headlines, it's clips, it's copy pasted links. It's, you know, things that are curated to get this emotional response from you to click an article. And it's not like the personality has been sucked out of Facebook. I think that was a great way of analyzing
it. Personal posts, you know, like Instagram is, you know, basically where my pictures mm-hmm. come from. And, you know, I haven't logged into my sister's Facebook in 2 months
right.
for sisters of perpetual indulgence.
But you know, I'm not saying like
I miss LiveJournal.
You know, I'm not saying you specifically or even the people in chat that are saying something similar specifically. I'm just saying Facebook as a whole is just hard to get through because it's nothing but emotional
crap.
Response crap.
Yeah.
I think we're all
I want nothing
over
to
it.
Do with it.
Yeah, I get you. Whatever happened to that pillow fort that was kind of like modern LiveJournal? Did they ever come back? They got pulled offline for like a security thing. Did they ever come back? Remember, you and I posted on there like twice, and then they took it down. I have to look into that.
All right. I'll have to look. Sorry, I was eating eggs.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So I'll have to look into that. I am about to toss over the next story, though. Just be warned.
I'm here.
Okay, good. Looking in our chat, Bonds006 in chat says, I post Toonami is back, bitches, every Saturday at 12. That's the bulk of my Facebook post. That's fine. And that's a lot of what I see on Twitter, honestly, is that type of thing. So Bonds006 also says, I've been doing that for years. I have friends that DM me if I'm 3 minutes late. I love that. That's funny. All right.
For the record, I just logged into Pillowfort.
Oh, so it works again?
Looks like it's back.
All right. I'll have to go make an update. That's fun. Follow me, you guys. All right. Let's get into our next story, though. Darkside, speaking of people moving, right?
Well, this isn't just moving. This is complete leaving. Yuji Naka, the man, the legend, he has confirmed that he's left Squenix. He actually did resign from his position in April. He says he can't talk about it, but he's considering retiring from video games altogether. The quote, and I'll just read it directly, translated, of course. Due to inquiries from the media and users on Twitters, I resigned from Square Enix at the end of April 2021. I cannot tell you why right now, but I hope to be able to tell you when the time comes. As for my future plans, I'm already 55 years old, so retirement is in the cards. Here is a photo that was taken for the Sega Console Historia interview. So, and it's a cute photo. So,
I'm guessing this has to do with Balan Wonderland not being so wonderful.
It did not sell well in Japan. It apparently the sales, I don't know how it did here, but I don't think it did very well here either. And I think it was that demo. I think that demo scared so many people off. I think this could be one for, you know, the history archives about what to not do with your demo. But I think at the end, Ni no Kuni. But Ni no Kuni still sold enough to make a sequel, even though that demo was terrible. But I don't know if it's just maybe the state of social media now versus the state of social media when Ni no Kuni's demo was out, which was a long time ago at this point. But that really, to be fair, I don't think the game either really got turned a lot of heads. Some people are really into it. That game definitely has its defenders, and I haven't played it, so I don't have an opinion either way, but I can say the way y'all reacted to it, made me go, I can pass on this. But it's sad for somebody like Yuji Naka, who has such a legendary resume. But at the same time, sometimes great artists flop. And it happens in music. Go ahead.
I have a picture of Dan and Yuji Naka from the early 2000s.
Oh, that's awesome. From like E3 or something?
I mean, look at Mighty No. 9. I mean,
yeah,
that was something that like had the pedigree to be really great, but it just didn't end up working out.
Yeah, and this happens sometimes in like music, like Kelly Clarkson's My December album compared to her others. Not her greatest one, and there's plenty of others too. I don't know why that one came to mind. I'm trying to think of musicians where it's like they released a real stinker, but more a lot of their albums are usually pretty better well received. And movies, I'm sure y'all know a director who makes great movies, but then they put out a real turd once in a while. Like it happens, right? So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says "Saint Anger" by Metallica is an example of what I was talking about. Pixel Pockets agrees. This is my December. Yep. There folks in chat are talking about if the Balan Wonderland, it flopped hard. Square has already put it on sale at least once, says Sacred Jade. Mike Def says not even like 2 weeks after release and it's already $20 USD off. Yep. Questbuster in chat says Shroud of the Avatar by Richard Garriott. Oh, how about you want to talk Lord British? What about his MMO Tabula Rasa? There you go. That was a stinker for his resume too, even though obviously he's an all-time great and so forth. But yeah. So anyway, I'm not you know, it's a bummer, though, that all it took was like this one game. And now Yuji Naka is like, maybe I won't be doing anything else for Square Enix. But I'm sure Square Enix saw this as being like a franchise. And clearly that's not going to happen, right? So.
Yeah. I still kind of want to play it.
Yeah. Well, and the good news, for what it's worth, is that it'll probably be very cheap to do so. It'll probably be a free game of the month on some services or a Game Pass thing or whatever. Pretty well, did it come out on Xbox? I can't even remember. It'll be on all sorts of those services pretty soon. Mm. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's talk about things that went from bad to good, Loki.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see that we're still getting more updates. So, like, this is like completely. We just had an update not that long ago, but now, of course, Hello Games saying, hello, here's yet another update. So they released Prisms, which is a update for No Man's Sky that adds several different features to the game, including some additional graphic improvements, including fur, light refraction in the rain, more details to the cave environments, reflective metal in space stations, and more. Also flying pet mounts that you can get. And yeah, I mean, it just looks pretty cool. I'm just surprised to see, like I thought we were at a point where, like, yeah, this is pretty good now. And now they're like, but you know what? It could be even better.
Yeah, right. And you look, I'm the resident No Man's Sky fanboy here, I think, in the house. And I played this update a little bit. I'm kind of waiting on Expedition 3. You know, Expedition 2 ended with the big surprise that you unlocked the Normandy. But we're in a lull right now. There is no active expedition. So you just have the base game right now. You can use all the rewards that you've gotten through expeditions and stuff. But that's it, right? So I'm kind of waiting on Expedition 3 to really jump back in. But I did look a little bit at some of the changes. Like, I played for maybe like 30 minutes. And yeah, they really enhanced the space station with like a better background. It looks really cool. And, you know, when you're like walking on the floor and stuff, it's really, you can notice some of the visual updates. It looks really good. But the crazy part is, and Loki, you're kind of referring to this, is that they just did a graphical update to this game in November. They just, because they did the big update to make it next gen, from PS4 type graphics to PS5 type graphics. That was just in November, and now we're getting another big graphical update. That's crazy.
I really need to go back and play this game. I have it on PC. I've never played it on PC, but like, I bet it would just look incredible now. Although the longer I wait, the better it's going to look. So that's I'll just wait a little bit longer, I guess.
Yeah. SSU100 Matt in chat says, No Man's Sky is one of those great gaming comeback stories, perhaps the greatest. And Miltonius Games in chat follows that up saying, No Man's Sky and Final Fantasy 14 are right up there for biggest turnaround. And yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, the only other thing I can think of that's nearly as big is Final Fantasy 14. And I think what makes 14's trajectory unique is that 14 is still growing. It's still getting more and more fans. And there was a very, you know, just to tangent a little bit, but you guys all know I follow Final Fantasy 14 stuff. There was a really interesting interview that just came out with Yoshi P where he kind of talked about they intentionally did not advertise during the pandemic to make it look like they were capitalizing on the stay-at-home situation and all that, which I thought was really classy. But at the same time, he didn't deny that the game has been there for people in this whole, you know, COVID and quarantine time and the pandemic and all that. So he sort of acknowledged, yes, it's helped the game, but we've tried not to lean into that too much. But, you know, not every video game grew during the pandemic. Sure, things like Animal Crossing did as well. But, you know, for every huge, you know, game that took off during the pandemic, there were still some stinkers. We could talk about some games that didn't make that same turnaround. Hello, Anthem. Oops. It was supposed to, but it didn't. Oops. I would say the only other game that really comes close that I can think of off the top of my head is Diablo 3. But I'm not trying to sell short Diablo 3's turnaround, which was huge, and it was probably the first out of all these games. But I really think Final Fantasy 14's story and now No Man's Sky story, again, is one for the history books, as far as I'm concerned, which is pretty cool. Mike Def says Super Mario Party with its online update. I don't think Super Mario Party was quite as raked over the coals as the other games when they first came out. So Miltonius Games pointing out Elder Scrolls Online also did good. That's true. Elder Scrolls Online, I think, also has their next big update, like, what, June 15th?
Yeah.
It's really soon.
That's another one I need to check out because I tried the beta back when it was, like, first available, and I just could not get into it. Like, it just wasn't – like, I was like, Elder Scrolls, and I can play it online? Sweet. Yeah. But then I played it, I'm like, this isn't, like, Skyrim at all. And then so I just kind of, like, fell out of it. But, like, maybe that – I think it's still on Game Pass, so maybe worth checking out.
It is. And, you know, again, not to like, belittle this comment, you know, about Elder Scrolls Online, but one thing I do want to point out why it's not usually said in the same breath, look at the reviews with when Elder Scrolls Online first came out and when Final Fantasy XIV 1.0 first came out. I don't think Elder Scrolls Online got rave reviews, but it did not get completely shit on like Final Fantasy XIV 1.0 did, and deservedly so. And you guys all know I'm a huge Final Fantasy XIV fanboy. 1.0 is the worst MMO I've ever played. It is fucking terrible. And that game went through a complete transformation. And so I think that's why you don't often hear it in the same – you don't hear, like, Elder Scrolls Online in the same breath. Not to belittle or, minimize the achievements that game has had over the years. But it went from – it's all right to, oh, neat, it's still going after all these years. Whereas Final Fantasy 1.0 was like, this is fucking garbage, Mom, to it's incredible. And, you know, probably the biggest MMO out there right now. Like, I do think we're at a point where Final Fantasy 14 is said more than WoW is. I think that's the reality, you know? So, but I thought, again, there was a really cool interview with Yoshi P. I think it was the same interview, actually, where he kind of acknowledged Final Fantasy 14 would not have been reborn in this way if it wasn't for WoW. And he says, I'm a Blizzard fanboy. I've been able to go to Blizzard's campus like 3 times, and I've had a great time every time, and I love talking to their team. And I love hearing how many people at Blizzard play the game. And so I think it's great that there is that love between the two. And maybe Blizzard maybe is thinking maybe it's time for a successor to World of Warcraft. I don't know. I'm probably getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, it's been like a long
time. It might
time.
Just be I think and there's not I think WoW has just lived its life. You know, and sure, you come at me with the EverQuest has 29 expansions or whatever. Sure, fine. Yes, yes.
But still, like, even with that, though, like, eventually it has to end. I mean, it just can't go on forever because it starts to get dated. I mean, like, they want to put something out more modern to draw people in.
Let me rephrase. I think this says it better. World of Warcraft has peaked. Final Fantasy 14 doesn't seem like it's peaked yet. So, and this next expansion may make it even bigger. So I think that's the key difference. So anyway, all right, let's move on. I went from No Man's Sky to MMO chat, but you know, these are genres I'm passionate about. What can I say? Hey, a lot of people have passion for Nintendo as well. And what if you could visit an official Nintendo museum? That sounds pretty rad, right? In fact, actually, I think a lot of the reason people love to go to the New York City store is that they have, like, it's very, very, but it feels like a Nintendo shrine of sorts. Yes, with lots and lots of merchandise to sell you, but they have, like, those tiny little exhibits upstairs, like, oh, here's the Game Boy that got destroyed in Desert Storm, right? They have those things at the New York City store. I think a lot of people would love to see an actual large Nintendo museum, and guess what? One is coming. In about 3 years, you're going to get to visit a museum in Japan, so you got to go there, but celebrating everything about Nintendo. They are going to be repurposing an old factory into a gallery that will showcase consoles and other products that Nintendo has launched throughout Nintendo's history. They're hoping to make it a tourist attraction. So it's going to be the Uji Ogura plant, and the surrounding land will be taking that on. And I think this has to do, they're choosing this because the Oguro Station is also being redeveloped in Japan. So that's pretty cool. This is, by the way, right outside Kyoto. This is hopefully a way to bring back more tourists. So that's pretty rad. This plant, by the way, used to manufacture playing cards and the Hanafuda cards. And it was also a customer service site for product repairs. And so now that's all moved to a newer factory. Are you showing some of those cards on stream right now, Dark Sakura, it looks like?
I have the Mario Hanafuda cards. You can order them actually on Nintendo's website.
So the Nintendo Gallery, which is the early name for this project, no word on when it will open yet, but they're targeting March 2024. So that's pretty exciting. Lots of stuff to visit in Japan in 2024. The Legend of Zaku in chat says, Japan done fucked up COVID after initially doing very well against it last year. I think it's probably one of those things where it just, the surge didn't hit until later. And it's probably going to ruin
the
Olympics.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you're seeing other countries now kind of going through it. Like, obviously, what happened in India is just horrific. Words can't even describe it.
India, though, did have a mass mismanagement. Japan, actually, being a society that already masks, was really good in the beginning for holding out. It's just the way that they were dealing with vaccinations.
I'm really glad we're starting to pass off some of our surplus vaccinations to other parts of the world. I think that's a great thing. Makes me happy to be an American when sometimes, especially in the last 4 years, I wasn't always feeling that way when I got out of bed. So that's great. All right. Let's move on. What do we have next? Dark Saga.
Well, there is more lawsuit news. Nintendo filed a lawsuit against a ROM website called ROM Universe, and that was in 2019. And it has since been concluded. The judge has ruled in Nintendo's favor, saying that ROM Universe, and I'm going to quote, is a straightforward video game piracy case, the situation. And that the site was, quote, populated the website with pirated copies of thousands of different Nintendo games and distributed hundreds of thousands of copies of those pirated games. Because they also sold paid premium accounts. So basically they were making money off of pirated material instead of it just being like a free-to-download kind of thing. Nintendo was seeking over $15 million in copyright and trademark infringement damages. The company is going to be paying less than that. They ruled $35,000 in statutory damages for the 49 copyrights is enough. So they'll be paying $1.7 million. Nintendo was looking for $90,000 per work. So this is better for the company. But the total that they're going to be receiving is $2,115,000.
So don't sell ROMs.
Don't sell them. Give them for free.
Which I guess this site, it kind of did that, but they had the subscription thing, right?
So. Yeah, that was a thing. And they sold premium subscriptions.
Yeah. Yeah, oopsie. Don't make money off Nintendo. They have a way of finding you and destroying you.
Their fingers are up everyone's ass. And not in a good way.
I was gonna say, not everybody's going to complain about that. Anyway, Loki, quick, change the subject.
All right. Well, I mean, I'd like to change the subject, but on the topic of ass, we're talking about the Atari VCS console coming out. Yeah, it's finally out, I guess, but I mean, I don't know. It's coming out on the 15th of June. It's going to be starting at $300, but apparently they have a version with a classic, you know, Atari 2600 controller and, you know, your modern controller for $400. Be available in retail soon. Is it any good? I don't know. It's like a PC, I guess, but I'm not all that excited about it, to be honest. I mean, the console is a cool shape, but it's basically just a Ryzen chip in there. So if I wanted one of those, I'd just build my own PC.
Any Atari VCS fans in the house, in chat? Anybody pre-ordering their Atari VCS? No, like, I know I'm sounding very, but I literally want to know, like, what is motivating people to get this system?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. It's just not something I'm looking for. I like the case. I like the design of it. It would have been cool if it was like a dedicated console that they had more, you know, into it. But like, it sounded like it was just like a PC running something that I think that's already available right now. They have like some Atari software that's already available that you can play some of these classic games on, but I don't know. It's just not as cool as it originally sounded.
When's the Atari Hotel coming? Let's talk about something that's positive.
Isn't that already out?
Is it? I figured the pandemic fucked it all up. But I'm still all about staying at the Atari Hotel.
I mean, that does look pretty cool. And I mean, the hotel.
Maybe I'll get to play a VCS at the Atari Hotel.
They'll have it in each room. The hotel kind of looks more like Tron than it does like an Atari Hotel.
I fail to see the problem.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that maybe they should lean that direction a little bit more than the Atari thing. It's coming in 2022 right now, so not yet. But
I figured the pandemic slowed those plans down, but yeah.
It's way better than what, the Hooters Hotel they have? Or I know they have a hotel that's all wood grain and it's something trashy like that.
Pass.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Oh, Pixel Pacas clarifies the Hooters Hotel is gone.
Oh, okay.
Was it in Florida? This sounds like a Florida thing.
No. It was in Vegas. It's been a long time since I've been to Vegas. It was on a business trip, and I saw that when we were going to, what was it? It's a shoe company. I don't remember, but they were gonna buy games.
I remember this being a thing now.
Yes, Zappos. When we were going to Zappos, we drove past it, and I was like, that looks trashy.
I wonder what turnover of the casinos has happened in Vegas during the pandemic, because I know Hard Rock's gone. It's now the Virgin Hotel or something like that, Richard Branson's Virgin. So I'm curious how that all probably looks at this point. But I wonder what other casino turnovers have happened. I wonder if there will be an Atari casino in Vegas at some point. Who knows? Questbuster says there's a new mega hotel opening up next to the Wynn. Where did they have room? Next to the way, I guess.
Come on top of each other.
No, where the Stardust used to be, I think was still open. Maybe my memory's a little fuzzy, but anyway. All right, let's move on. This, speaking of things from the past, I think this is very interesting. We have Ken and Roberta Williams back in the news. You thought they were retired, and quite frankly, so did they. Probably,
maybe, but they got bored.
I have a feeling, and you know, Bobby talked a little bit about this on his show too, but it's a thought I certainly had as well, is that, you know what, they were probably ready to sail around the world, do the, you know, months long cruise, go travel to all these different places, and then can't do that right now, right? Bad idea. So maybe we'll just get right back into making a video game, or at least, you know, I don't really, you know, especially hearing about this project, I don't think they're like really getting in there the way they used to with the classic Sierra Online games. But even to see them contributing to a newer game is, you know, it's a neat thought and a neat idea. It's just neat that we haven't seen the last of Ken and Roberta Williams. So what the hell is going on? Let's talk about it. They are working on a new game with a 3D artist, Marcus Maximus Mera. We don't know the project title beyond something called The Secret. We don't know if that's like actually the name of the game. I would hope this would not be confused with that book that was on every talk show in what, the 2000s, right? So anyway, this is a game called The Secret for now, or it's just, you know, a secret. There is a website you can visit. It's kensgame.com if you want to see more about it. Not a lot of details on the game yet, but it talks about what's going on behind the scenes. What is it going to be? A Sierra flavored or a Sierra inspired, a Sierra, you know, a hint of Sierra game, single player game. Think things like King's Quest, Leisure Suit Larry. It's going to be an adventure game. Modern audiences will be in mind, though. And, you know, they did a King's Quest reboot. They, not Ken and Roberta, but they being another company, did a King's Quest reboot probably about 5 years ago at this point, and it wasn't bad at all. I enjoyed it. I didn't play the whole thing, but I played like the first episode, maybe a little bit of the second, and I enjoyed it. So I think, you know, if it's something along those lines, hey, I'm happy anyway. Especially, you know, I would love to see Ken and Roberta Williams take on the walking sim genre. I know that that's sometimes used as a negative. I see walking sim as a positive. There are so many good games, such as, you know, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, Dear Esther, What Remains of Edith Finch. You know, so many great games. I would love to see their take on that. I don't know if that's going to be this, because it's going to be a little more Sierra inspired. But yeah, who knows? Who knows where this could actually end up going? They've been developing this game over the past 6 months. They are warning you on the game's website that Roberta's involvement has been kind of minimal, but she's supposed to be getting more involved as they get closer to release. So I don't really know what that actually means. It sounds like maybe she's not doing the bulk of the writing, but maybe she's contributing ideas, plot twists, things like that. I don't know. We'll see as this develops. Their goal is to release the game in November, but they're still working with placeholder graphics. And so I have a feeling this is not going to be, and most people have a feeling this isn't actually going to happen this year, but maybe demos and screenshots at a later date. Supposedly another contributor on this project as well. They haven't named yet. So I don't know. Again, don't think that like they're building a game from the ground up like they did in the 80s and 90s, because video games aren't made today like they were made in the 80s and 90s, right? It wasn't uncommon for one person to make a game in the 80s and 90s. Now it takes a team of people. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, there are plenty of ways for one person. What about Axiom Verge? What about Pixel Poops? And there's plenty of games that one person can make. But I think to fit their vision and what they want to do, they're going to need more than just them to do it. So I think they're really kind of just contributing, you know, and just not really leaving gaming behind, especially in the face of a pandemic and what's going on with that. So, but I'll still play it. That's for sure. I'll check it out. I think they're great. Looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Dr. Tsuya says, I'm tempted to start some of the older games because I got a hold of some of them for free, like the Space and Police Quest games. Missed them back in the 80s and 90s. Didn't get a PC till way past all of that. Just keep in mind, a lot of your modern conveniences and adventure games aren't going to necessarily be present, especially in the early, early King's Quest games. It didn't start to get a little more graphical till like King's Quest 4. Was when the interface really changed. So just keep that in mind. And you can skip the last King's Quest game, just so you know. All right. Yeah, Questbuster in chat says, on Rob's note, early adventure games love to kill the player. But that was kind of the fun. I mean, I know people hate dying in games and having to start over, but it was kind of fun to see all the creative shit that they'd kill your character with in those games. And it wasn't graphic or anything. You know, it was a fantasy. It was just, you know, a lot of it was implied. So, something to think about there. All right. Let's move on. So, this is going to be a fun surprise for people, I think, because we have a fresh coat of paint on a very familiar segment. So, let's get into it.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, and what is the classic game of the week? Jamie, you're muted.
Then no one heard me say, oh, fuck. Oh, wait, you did.
No, I didn't hear it either. You're muted on Discord. That's right.
The classic game is Portal 2. Yes, it is that old. You're welcome. So, at any rate, Portal 2 came out in 2011 in, I want to say, April. So, yes, it is 10. It is it's 10 years old. Yep, you all should feel oldish. So it was released by Valve for Windows, Mac OS X, Linux, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. The digital version was distributed online by Valve's Steam service, and the other retail editions were by Electronic Arts. So basically, it is an update of the original Portal with a lot more silliness. The one portal of one color, you come out through a portal of another color. And by the way, you still are controlling Chell, who is the test subject, and she has been asleep for some time and was woken up by a robot, or a, I guess he's a core, really, named Wheatley, who is voiced by Stephen Merchant. And so you go through the game and you start to discover other things, other types of puzzles that were being created. And you, I mean, it's 10 years. I'll go ahead and spoil it. GLaDOS is a potato. So you go around and you listen to old recordings of Cave Johnson, which are absolutely hilarious and brilliant. And of course we have Jonathan Goldin still doing the end song for the game. The other thing about this one too is it had a bunch of AR games that promoted it, including one called Potato Sack, where you had to solve puzzles that showed up in these different 13 updates. So, but going back to this, Portal 2 also had other things going on for it. So we're going to start back off with, you know, the essence of Portal: speedy thing goes in, speedy thing goes out. It's physics. Cave Johnson was voiced by J.K. Simmons, who we might also know as J. Jonah Jameson from our Maguire era Spider-Man movies, I believe so.
Modern Spider-Man.
The modern ones? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the other era, because this goes to show I haven't seen a single one of the new ones. You have many different elements in this one, apart from just, you know, the weighted storage cubes and the portal guns and the portals themselves. What you have are thermal discouragement beams, which are lasers, excursion funnels, which are tractor beams, and hard light bridges that you can all direct through your portals. Aerial faith plates exist as well, which can launch you or objects into portals. Basically, you just throw them on there. You do still have the turrets, and they are still adorable. As far as those redesigned weighted storage cubes, you now have redirection cubes that are prismatic and let you redirect the thermal discouragement beams. You have spherical edgeless safety cubes, which are basically round storage cubes. And a poor, poor cube turret hybrid that Wheatley made and prominently fucked up on. You also do have a return of the weighted companion cube. You also have pneumatic diversity vents that have transport power, basically suction or transport. Those were actually in the demo, but were not included in the final game. As far as other things that you get, again, this is something that was inspired by other games and tech demos. I'll have to get into that in a second. But you get the various kinds of gels. So you have an orange propulsion gel that will let you slide across surfaces quickly. You have repulsion gel that makes you bounce, and white conversion gel that allows a surface to accept portals, because ground up moon rocks are poison, and now he's deathly ill. You also have the various funnels that you can use to make it go across in the air or go through the ground, like pull one direction versus the other. And then we also have the addition of multiplayer. So you can, in single player, you can play Chell, who is the main protagonist. There was also a rumor that there was supposed to be like a sister character for her who was supposed to be blonde. That did not happen. So this takes us then to cooperative mode. So with cooperative mode, you can play as one of two robots. And see, this is where the Chell clone was supposed to come from. So you have two new robots. You have Atlas and Peabody, as in P-Body. And they do also make a cameo in the single player campaign if you are quick. And you have to be quick to see them. But you have like signals and pings and stuff, you know. Which actually I wonder if that's kind of where Dead by Daylight might have gotten some of that, or from Journey maybe, where since survivors can't really talk to each other unless you're, you know, in Discord or something, you signal things. So they can ping each other and signal to state their intent. The writing in this is absolutely astounding. I mean, it's so good. So good. Voice acting is so good. The only thing that there was a problem going on is that there was a very, and I'm just going to say it out loud, a very rapey scene that it actually was voiced. Ellen McLean did her part of it as GLaDOS. Well, not as GLaDOS, but as why can't I think of her name? As the human person that GLaDOS was based off of. For just a moment, my brain absolutely cannot remember her name. Anyway, but at any rate, the Cave Johnson lines, basically, J.K. Simmons refused to record them. So that's very, very cringy. Why can't I remember her name? Oh, brilliant! You did find a portal card. This is going to really bother me now because I can't remember her name.
Mike Deft is suggesting Miranda?
No, it's not Miranda. It's, okay, screw it. I'm going to look up her name.
Looking in the chat for some other comments, Tiger Claw pointing out Portal 2 was one of the first games that was kind of cross-platform. You buy the PlayStation 3 version, and it gives you the PC version, and you sign into your Steam account in the PC or PS3 version. Yeah, I remember that. That was really cool. It's the only game that did that.
Okay, so it still is not. She was Caroline.
There it is.
That
okay.
Was her name. Was Caroline?
Caroline. Yep.
Yep. I knew it didn't start with an M. but at any rate, I mean, it's just so well done. And I love Stephen Merchant so much, especially as Wheatley. I mean, it just made everything. Everything was so wonderful about that game. So it also has been used in education. Believe it or not, there was called Teach with Portals and Steam for School that used Portal 2 and Portal 2 Puzzle Maker for education. It was free, but it had a single-player campaign, and Puzzle Maker was only for Steam for School users. So it was teaching how to solve puzzles and create critical thinking, although some people were... upset with the whole, quote, gamification of learning. So, and they there was also research in 2016 that demonstrated that the Portal 2 Puzzle Maker could be used to measure fluid intelligence. And it was referred to as the Portal 2 Test Battery. So that was also pretty neat. It sold amazingly well. People to this day still love and play it. And it actually was subject to some mods. So remember I was saying that Chell was supposed to have like a twin or a clone or something? Her name was Mel. And so someone did Portal Stories Mel, where they did a mod for Portal where you could have Mel and Chell. There's Aperture Tag, the paint gun testing initiative, where it's a single player modification that basically replaces the portal gun with a gel gun that makes it kind of like Tag the Power of Paint, which Tag the Power of Paint is where those gels were originated. And that game may come up because I've done Narbacular Drop. So there's also Thinking with Time Machine, which is a mod that gives you the ability to record actions that can be played back by a duplicate player, and allows for the use of a second set of portals. And then there's Portal Reloaded, which is a single player mod for Portal 2 that came out on my birthday this year, because the game came out on my birthday in 10 years ago. And it lets you use a third portal called the Time Portal to travel between the present and future versions of each test chamber. And so, on that note, I will say that Portal 2 deserves its place as a classic game and is still among one of my favorite modern classics.
I think it was definitely just a matter of when this game would be eligible, which it may be the biggest surprise in this segment, is that, yes, this game is 10 years old, and you are 10 years older.
and it's now
eligible.
It came out on my birthday.
Yep. And as somebody in chat pointed out, it was... who said it? Mike Def said, by the way, Portal 2 launched during that big Sony hack. Yeah, this was during that period when PlayStation 3 it was offline, I think, for a pretty good chunk of the period.
I do have potatoes quotes.
Okay.
Still is my ringtones on my phone. Like, my favorite one, look at you, flying like an flying majestically like an eagle, piloting a blimp. GLaDOS is the queen of reeds. of the shady reed. The library is always open with her.
You know, thank you for bringing Portal 2, of course. This is the game we talked about. I mean, it's funny because, you know, this show has been around long enough where we talked a lot about this game when it came out. And somebody in chat reminded us this was our game of the year in 2011. Like, obviously, this is an amazing game. I have to say, why won't Valve do Portal 3? It's so disappointing that they won't do a third game.
Because they can't count to three.
I realize this is Valve's MO, but I mean, I love this game in a way that, you know, I don't have the same feelings about, like, you know, Half-Life and stuff like that. Which, yes, I realize it's a spinoff, blah, 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 blah. But I don't have, you know, this is the one I really want to see a three of. And it's just, it blows my mind that, yeah, at least there was a Half-Life Alyx, which for some, you know, folks is a Half-Life 3. When are we ever going to see this series continue?
Well, and I just think that I almost said Aperture. I think Valve needs to go talk to whoever at Capcom learned how to count to three,
mm-hmm.
and teach them how to count. If Capcom could do it, so can Valve.
Orange Wright in chat says Portal VR wouldn't work. No, I absolutely agree with that. And I realize, you know, a lot of Valve's interest is with
vomit.
Oh, it'd make everybody vomit. Like, you know, even I enjoy VR, and it would still make me vomit. Like, it would be too much.
I would totally play it. It wouldn't make me vomit.
And you know what? I'm sure somebody's already modded the first two games to work with VR. Have fun, but you know, not so much for me. But yeah, it's so sad that, you know, I don't know, maybe they just figured they cannot top this game. And I suppose that's something I just have to accept as a fan, is that they cannot top this game. And so they're not going to try. And it's that. But it's just, damn, I really wish this universe could continue, you know?
Yeah. Alas.
Bobby does say there is a officially endorsed Portal VR game. It's Portal Stories VR. So... all right.
Mm. That is not Portal. It's just endorsed.
It's just endorsed. All right. But anyway, yeah, I'd love to see a full Portal 3, but I think I just kind of have to accept Valve does not feel this can ever be topped. And I guess that is that. So, all right, but great pick for the Classic Game of the Week. Love Portal 2. Love the original. Love this one. Portal 2, your Classic Game of the Week. Yes, it's 10 years old. All right.
You're welcome.
Tiger Claw does also remind us, a few weeks ago I read that J.J. Abrams said a Portal movie is in the works. I remember hearing about that recently, too.
I believe nothing until I see it.
I think the fandom is going to be very irritated when Ella McClain is not the voice of GLaDOS. Like, I think there's just a lot
of
fans. Or
what if she is?
If she is, then I think we have a different conversation, absolutely. But I think there's a lot of people that are going to reject this movie when they put some AAA actress as the voice of GLaDOS instead. But we'll see. I don't. Maybe they will. Hey, if they did get Ella McClain to do it, I'd be thrilled. She deserves
it. I do have to point out, when we got the Transformers movie, who else was our Optimus Prime?
Yeah, it was Leonard Nimoy, right?
No. Leonard Nimoy was Galvatron in the animated movie. I'm talking about the more recent ones.
I forget who did do it. Was it
not Frank Welker?
Well, who did it?
Did my headphones go out?
I think so. Who did do it? I don't know. You brought it up.
It was Peter Cullen.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, Frank Welker was someone else.
Dark Tetsuya does remind they got her to be in Pacific Rim, right? I forgot that was a thing. But, you know, yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they but I cannot envision GLaDOS without Elle McClain. I just can't do it. And I know this happens in Hollywood all the time that they would recast it, but I don't know. So, all right. Anyhow, all right, thank you for the classic game of the week. We've talked plenty about Portal, but it is such a good game. Let's get into some rapid-fire news. Travel around the world and quickly check out some other headlines from around the globe. Loki.
All right, so there's been a delay with another game because of COVID. And this game, of course, is going to be King of Fighters 15, which is delayed now to 2022. And, I mean, we've heard this a million times already, but yet another one. You'll have to wait a little bit longer for. This is pretty cool. So, relatively new game. EA has this game called Knockout City, which is a massive multiplayer kind of dodgeball game. And they've already seen 5 million account signups across all their platforms since launch, which is pretty impressive considering it launched, you know, not that long ago.
I have some friends that talk about this game a lot and want me to play it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but I probably will check it out.
Yeah, aside from the trailer that we saw during that one Nintendo Direct, I haven't really checked it out yet.
It is apparently on Games Pass as well, so that's one way to check it out. Oh, yeah, because EA Play is on Game Pass, so that's one way to check it out. So, I need to get around to it. Anybody in chat playing this game? Part of that 5 million? Legend of Zaku says it's the next Fortnite. It might be that next, I don't know, Fortnite's going to kind of always do its own thing, I think, but because Fortnite isn't a game. Remember? There was that whole thing that came out of the recent, you know, headlines of Epic and all that. I think that there's games that kind of come and go with the popularity, like Fall Guys, Among Us. And not to say those games aren't still popular and there's lots of people that love them, but they certainly, right, they were the front page of Twitch and all that stuff. And I think Knockout City is kind of like, if it's not there yet, it's going to be one of those big games pretty soon here as more and more people are checking it out. So, Bonds006 says, I see the game, but and a Knockout City. Pixel Paca says, I've played it a bit. It's fun, but in regards to dodgeball-inspired games, I prefer Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. See, nothing is going to top the Kunio-kun Super Dodgeball for me. That's just the reality. That will always be the best dodgeball game. You're not going to be able to change my mind. The Neo Geo, I mean, they had the NES one as well, which is all right, but the Neo Geo one is, like, classic. So, all right. That's the whole reason to get a Neo Geo cabinet is to play that game again. All right, anyhow, sorry, I digress. Dark Saga.
So, for Pride Month, the game Tell Me Why is free on Steam. So for the entire month of June, you can go download it so that you can experience the story for yourself. Of one of the characters in the game is transgender. And so it will, you know, it's good to sort of put yourself in that person's shoes, especially since this has been this year so far, there have been more than 100 bills passed restricting the rights of transgender people. So definitely give this one a play.
I believe then, it may also be free in the Xbox ecosystem as well, because I was looking at the store the other day and it said it was, but I don't know if that was a Game Pass thing, but just a heads up, it may be free there as well.
Okay. And then Arcade 1UP put out a teaser of very pixelated pink sprinkled donuts, which is basically a big reference to them doing a Simpsons game. So you wanted Simpsons 4 player? You're getting Simpsons 4 player. And since Simpsons is on there, the other games that were in the leak that we talked about, what, a couple weeks ago?
2 weeks ago when we were last live, yeah.
Probably going to be included. We'll see.
Which was Tron. Woo. And Paw Patrol, which I'm sure some people are very excited about. But Tron.
Paw Patrol.
Also, breaking news before OLR tonight, Bobby caught this on his show, is that apparently the entire YouTube trailer for The Simpsons Machine leaked. So it's fucking happening. The Simpsons Machine, at least, is absolutely 100% happening. The YouTube is out there. It's you can't – no take-backsies on that one. Now, we are inferring that because, well, the leak for The Simpsons was true, then also – but we don't have a full YouTube yet for the Tron thing. But Arcade 1UP is one of the virtual exhibitors at E3, so this would be a great time for them to put out that trailer in this next couple weeks. So fingers and toes – well, I mean, I'm already kind of like, you know, having my – God damn it moment, because, you know, I'm going to have to shell out the money for that cabinet, but I'm not going to lie. I want that fucking cabinet. So there you have it. Ooh, you know what else leaked out, though, on Twitter with all that stuff? Apparently there is a countertop, so it's the smaller machine, but a Super Pac-Man. Now, Super Pac-Man is in, like, the Pac-Man 40th edition cabinet or all that stuff, but I love me some Super Pac-Man. I'm almost tempted to get that countertop, to be honest. I don't even know what other games are in it, but at least the countertops are smaller. So
there is that.
Yeah. Fifth Dream in chat says, I really want to get that Tron machine and really LED it up. Yeah, those, like, you know who is really attracted to the lights on the cabinets? Is Mr. Smush, my cat. So I actually had Grandpa from Horde House was over here at the house over the weekend. We were hanging out for a little bit. And I was showing him the arcade cabinet because it had been so long since he'd been here, right? Because I got that machine about a year ago when the pandemic was in full swing for my birthday. So I showed him the cabinet and I turned it on. And as soon as the light on that machine went on, I hadn't turned it on in a while. As soon as it turned on, Mr. Smush was in Matt's lap, and then all of a sudden Smush, like, looks at the machine, his eyes get gigantic, and then he, like, hops his way over to the machine and jumps up on the controls to, like, press his face against the LED screen. I guess Mr. Smush loves himself an arcade cabinet, so he's gonna have two of them pretty soon when that Tron one shows up. So
yeah,
he just better not ruin that special Tron joystick. Because, you know, you can't have the Tron machine without that special joystick. I don't even know what to call it. I had, like, that trigger finger thing is very cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's that thing.
That thing, the Tron joystick. All right.
That thing.
Let's travel around the world and check out release dates. I think I heard we have a big week this week, right, Loki?
We have a few things coming out. So looks like we've got Chivalry 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Edge of Eternity on PC, Neptunia Reverse on PlayStation 5, Alba, a Wildlife Adventure on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2, Desperate Struggle coming to PC. We have Phantasy Star Online New Genesis, or I'm sorry, Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis, coming out on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X in North America, and PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4 in Japan. Chicory, A Colorful Tale on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Looks like we've got Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate on PlayStation 5. Ninja Gaiden Master Collection on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Nintendo Switch is getting Game Builder Garage. Guilty Gear Strive on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart on PlayStation 5. And I believe that's everything.
All right. Let's go to Japan right now. Pack your bags. Coming out of Japan this week, Game Builder Garage also gets a release in Japan this week. And that Ninja Gaiden Master Collection is also out in Japan this week. Those both on the Nintendo Switch, of course. Looking at PlayStation 5, Japan also gets the Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. Of course, you know it's going to be the same time we get it here in the U.S. That shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody. Also, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart also getting its Japanese release. Guilty Gear Strive also coming out this week. This is really one of those rare weeks where it's like the release calendar is like exactly the same between the two countries, to be honest. It's very similar. And then PlayStation 4 also has Guilty Gear Strive this week, so check it out. How about Europe? I imagine it's going to be a broken record, but let's see. How about Europe, Dark Sakura?
Yeah, pretty light. So on the 8th, we have Descenders. We have Elder Scrolls Online Blackwood. Chivalry 2. On the 10th, we have Tour de France 2021. We Are Football, which is actual football and not American football. Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. And on the 11th, we have The Persistence Enhanced, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and Guilty Gear Strive.
All right.
That's it.
That's it. All right, let's move on. And we appropriately, after what Loki had said earlier tonight, I think Loki's going to update us on the Minecraft world, right?
Yeah, I actually follow this stuff a lot. So one of the more popular streamers and speedrunners is Dream. And not that long ago, he was accused of cheating in Minecraft speedruns because the percentage, so one of the strats that they use for speedrunning in Minecraft 1.16 now is the piglin bartering, which you can drop gold in front of a piglin. They'll, you know, trade you some random item, and they use that to get ender pearls. And so he had manipulated the game in a way, or the alleged, you know, they alleged originally that he manipulated the basically the randomness of that. So he increased the percentage chance drop by modifying loop tables to drop those ender pearls more often. And so then he denied it originally and you know, put out this long-winded analyst video where he had a statistician look at, you know, everything in the game and said, oh no, it's not impossible that the percentage drops that he got. But it was like, it was ridiculous. Like, he would be like the most luckiest person in the world to have that kind of luck in the games. Well, come to find out, he admitted to in a pastebin saying that, yep, he did cheat. He did put or create a modification to allow him to have better drops on those. But he was using it for some other types of runs, like for his Manhunt series and stuff like that. But he accidentally left it on for 6 of his live streams for his speed runs. So accidentally did that. But then, of course, you know, so I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I don't know why he needed to do that. He's already a great speed runner. Granted, he's not going to be, he doesn't have the top spots anymore because they've been taken down. But it just kind of ruins his credit.
It's one of those things where he didn't know what to do and he wasn't the best anymore. And it's unfortunate. You kind of hear these stories sometimes where somebody's trying to, well, you know, it's a, without going too late, I'm going to open this can of worms. It's a lot of the accusations around the Billy Mitchell thing, right?
Mm-hmm. He's also pretty young.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's a similar type of thing when it's like, if you believe Billy Mitchell is lying about everything, and I'm not going there tonight, but it's then you would say that it's a similar thing where if, you know, when you're not number one in the world anymore, you don't know what else to do and you have to cheat to get your way back to number one, right?
Mm. Exactly.
Look at the former president. willing to cheat to try to get back. Anyway,
what
sorry,
president?
But, yeah, I know. So
so originally, like, they were saying, you know, the odds of like what he got was like something 1 in 7.5 trillion odds. Obviously that's ridiculous, but you know, it is what it is. It's weird though, like, and now he's also like taken down that post, but obviously people saw it and it's the internet, so once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet. just weird. But yeah, that's catching you up on your Minecraft speedrunning drama there. In non-speedrunning drama, so Minecraft has actually removed a shout-out to 4chan, because you may remember when you start Minecraft, they have kind of little blurbs in the, near the logo talking, just like little funny things in there. Well, one of them apparently had, you know, kind of a mention of V on there, or Woo V, because that's one of the sub-channels for 4chan. So they have now removed that from the game as well. One other bigger update, though, 1.17, the brand new version, is actually coming out on Tuesday, which is pretty exciting. So they're adding lots of updates to that. Originally, Caves and Cliffs was supposed to be a lot bigger, and redesigning the whole cave generation into the game, but it's a massive undertaking that they're actually splitting up into multiple releases. So this next release is just adding some more blocks, adding some new mobs and stuff like, or new, passive mobs in the game. But 1.18 is going to like completely redesign the cave generation stuff. It's going to be ridiculous, but that's not supposed to come out until holiday, but still pretty cool.
Yeah. When's Series X supposed to get some of those graphical upgrades that like the NVIDIA stuff's been getting? Because like when I watch your stream and like the water effects and stuff, I'm like, dang, or YouTube's, the water. I love the look of that, and it's not in the Series X version. At least last time.
No, that's Optifine and BSL shaders, so that's included with Optifine usually, and it really doesn't take much to run that. It looks so nice, so really like the way it looks. Yeah. It does. Break some plugins I have, like that. If I wanted to do different visualizations, like they have stuff where you can, you know, for building farms and things like that, you can see what the spawn area is, and it will generate like a sphere around you and stuff like that. I can't see any of that because I'm playing with shaders on. I would have to switch it off, but I just don't use those.
All right. Let's move on and talk about, this is a little more in the rumor category, but this has been a source of spoilers before, and I'm talking about Walmart Canada. Remember when they completely ruined E3 one year? I think that was, 2019? They completely ruined E3, Walmart Canada, with all these releases. Well, who knows if they're trolling or what's going on? I don't know, but here it is. A listing popped up this week for Metroid on the Nintendo Switch. And obviously, it had fake box art. It wasn't real. It was literally like black text that said Metroid on a white box. But it was there. There is no Metroid game on the Nintendo Switch right now. It is interesting to note they didn't call it Metroid Prime 4. The reason why I bring this up, there were already rumors, but we really kind of filed those in the, okay, y'all, this is like, I don't even know if I believe this, but people are saying that there may be a new 2D Metroid game that is locked, loaded, ready to go for Nintendo Switch, and it's getting announced at E3. Some rumors say it's a Super Metroid remake in the vein of Metroid Zero Mission. I love Metroid. I love 2D Metroid. I'm not holding my breath or setting expectations because it's this is the rumor they try to get you with every time. But Walmart Canada doing this just to troll, I don't know if I buy that either. This is a little bit, there's smoke here and there might be a fire.
How very un-Canadian of them.
Exactly. Exactly. That would not be very Canadian of them to pull a stunt like this. So
how very.
So who knows? I suppose they could announce something at E3, or they might not, quite frankly, because it seems that some of the prior rumors about things we were supposed to hear about at E3, like a Switch Pro, may not actually be happening. So Nintendo may have flipped the entire fucking script this E3. I don't know, but I think this is interesting. If we take the prior rumor as true that the Metroid game on Switch is pretty much done and it's coming out sooner rather than later, then this might be the surprise announcement at E3. We know Nintendo can announce games and have them out on the market in 6 weeks. Garage Builder Games, they just did it. Just did it. So could Nintendo announce a game that they're going to put out by Labor Day? Absolutely. It'll be interesting. I hope so. Tiger Claw says it worked for the Return of Samus. It can work. That's right. They did that too. So it could work for Super Metroid. It sure could. Boy, oh boy, is that some holy text, though, in my opinion. Super Metroid is the best video game ever made, in my opinion. Period. End of sentence. For them to redo it, that's a tall order. But I honestly, Metroid Zero Mission, it's like if Nintendo is doing it themselves, their track record on the remakes are pretty darn good. It probably will be a great game. It probably won't have all the same magic of the original, but I will probably enjoy the experience start to finish, and I will absolutely buy it. But again, I don't want to set the expectation. If it's a new adventure, if it's something, if it's a repackaging of the previous Metroid games, I'm still happy, to be quite honest. So we'll see. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, you know, there's a game that everyone loves to hate on, I guess, or loves to rib. And that is, of course, the Super Mario Brothers movie that came out in 93 and basically was chopped and edited into, like, a bunch of crap. If you've ever watched the documentary about the making of this movie, it is absolutely worth it. And just to see what could have been. Honestly, I think the realism factor is a little bit too much, but it could have been some gritty stuff. So anyway, there is an extended cut of Super Mario Brothers, and it's been there for years. People have been trying to compile all of these different aspects of them, you know, found footage and things from the internet and things that people put together and recovered footage. So this completed version was actually done by Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel. This is a version that was completed before the final one had made it into the theaters. So it has been surfaced, called the Morton Jankel Cut. There's been more people in the Super Mario Brothers archive community and a restorationist named Garrett Gilchrist who put together a re-edited, touched-up version of the movie. And it is available out there on the internet for those in chat. I am going to link it to you right this minute so you can watch it, preferably after you watch me stream after the show. but there you go.
Well, let's ask a real talk.
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay, I was going to ask a real talk question. Who's going to watch it? Like, it's okay. You said you watched a little bit of it.
How started was it so far? And then I had stuff to do.
How was it so far?
It was okay. I kind of didn't know what I was watching, so I'll have to just sit more time with it when I haven't been drinking and watch it.
Yeah, like, and the reason why I pose that question is, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat that this exists, that someone put the time in the... I'm not going to watch it.
Like, I also put the wrong link in chat. Let me try this again. Nope, I did.
Oh, yeah,
that's the right one.
That's a big old MP4. That's a big download. Watch your bandwidth. So,
well, I mean, this is just the viewing of it. No. So I am, let's see, MPEG-4 file is 3.7 gigabytes.
That's not too bad.
It says DVD part 1, MP4, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to download it. Why not? I've got internet.
SSGO100 Matt says, maybe when I go to the DMV at some point, I'll check it out. Yeah. Maybe I'll download it for my next flight. Who knows? So,
well, Rob, you know my love of not great movies.
I know. Well, I love not great movies, too. Hello. How many times have I seen Showgirls? I can quote that movie. It's so bad, it's good.
You don't know shit.
You are a whore, darling. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Loki.
So Valve is making some changes to Counter-Strike Go or CSGO, basically to try to combat some of the trolling that goes along in the game and some of the cheaters, I guess. But right now, the way Go stands is that a lot of the features are available in the free-to-play version of that. But apparently you can buy Prime, which allows you to have Prime-only matchmaking, item drops, XP bonuses, and stuff like that. Along with some of those, they're saying that now they're going to be kind of putting that behind that paywall to disincentivize folks from basically creating accounts to troll and then, you know, with the intent that they may get banned, and then creating another free account and that type of stuff. So the rank ladder, they said right now, has a lot of cheaters in it, and that high rank players are making new accounts to stomp noobs, and grievers are creating accounts to intentionally throw the game and trolls and whatnot. So they're trying to, it's unfortunate that they're kind of hurting the community in the sense that, you know, there's probably folks that want to try that out for free, but in order to try to combat some of the stuff, they're having to put it behind a paywall to try to make it a little bit harder to just create a bunch of dummy accounts.
Hmm.
And also make them more money at the same time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how much money is there to be made from Counter-Strike? How old is it? Well, I say that, but obviously this game is still...
lots of money.
Yeah, I guess that was a dumb thing now that the words have left my mouth, but... But well, I you know, MMOs kind of have to do all this all the time to kind of prevent the exploits and all this stuff. So I guess it's not just more surprising it took this long.
The TLDR about it is basically before there used to be a way to earn Prime status by playing the game long enough. Now you have to actually purchase it. There's no free path to Prime.
It would be easy to just stay logged in and rack up time that way, I'm sure, or, you know, do private matches with other bots or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, since I bitch a lot about bandwidth and exceeding it in this day and age, here's some news that is actually a great thing, because this game has a gigantic footprint. But you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, I understand it because this game is so goddamn beautiful. And that's the new Microsoft Flight Simulator. So kind of like the reboot of Flight Simulator that came out in the kind of last year, I think it was, earlier in the year. The original install size has shrunk from 170 gigabytes, yes, it was that big, to 83 gigabytes. So that's pretty awesome, and that's from notes on the most recent patch in the game. We don't know exactly what they did. Obviously, they've optimized something, but that's a hell of a lot of bandwidth to save. So they cut some corners somewhere, you know, optimized, you know, graphics on another side or something. I don't know what they did, but they've cut the footprint down a lot. This is also good knowing that the Xbox version is out pretty soon. I don't know if have they dated the Xbox version. I don't think they have. They're just saying it's soon. Maybe we'll find out at E3. I bet that's one of those games we'll get updated on at E3. It'll be good that the print is smaller for the Xbox version, because like 170 gigs on that drive, like you're eating so much install space for other games. You won't even be able to play hardly anything else. So I think it's great that they're getting the footprint shrunk down for when that comes out on Xbox. I'm excited to try it on Xbox because I think the controller and all that's really going to take a lot of the complications out of the game. I know you can do a lot to get, but I think once they make the interface more controller friendly and for the Xbox audience, I think I'm going to be able to get into it a lot more. It's a neat, it's beautiful. I've watched streamers play the game, and it's always a good experience. Really, really looks good. Legend of Zaku says it's compression and lots of it. Bobby Blackwolf says it was out during Summer Games Done Quick last year. Oh, I didn't realize it was that late in the year. I thought it was before the pandemic, but I guess not. You know what? I know you're right, but it's one of those things where I was only able to download it because Comcast suspended all the bandwidth caps at the beginning of the pandemic. Remember that? So I was like, 190 gigabyte install, who gives a shit? And I did it. So that's, you're right, it was that time. So, all right. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, yeah, I saw 170 gigs and was like, that's a no for me. Granted, I have a 320 gig hard drive for my PC games. Ooh, time to get 3 terabytes. So, all right. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to the Xbox version of the game. I want to check that out. Yeah, Zaku says, I bought a new 1 terabyte solid state drive for the game because of the near 200 gigabyte size for it. Yeah, I bet there's lots of people on the Xbox side of the house that are going to get a new drive so they can put that game on it along with others. So, wow, August 17th, 2020. I can't believe it was that late in the year. Wow. I would say time has just flown by, except it hasn't. It's been very slow. All right. Anyhow, I think that was the last story we had on deck for tonight. So we're going to get into the listener roundtable, which includes our mailbag. And Dark Soccer is going to hop on over there, participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us email. But please not if you're a spammer. Because unfortunately, that is something that's starting to rear its ugly head again. So if you signed us up for that, choke. We do have. Do we have any real emails this week? I thought we had
one.
Yay! One email. Let's get to it.
And it's a very simple email.
Okay.
It comes from D in Waterloo.
Waterloo. Okay. Yes, I know. Waterloo.
I said that because of your, your ABBA thing.
Waterloo. I'm sure the listener has never heard that before.
What is the most overused term in gaming? Toxic.
Ooh, that.
But it's accurate. Just from I'm playing so much Dead by Daylight that you know.
But you say it's accurate, so does that really make it overused?
They could come up with other words like asshole. Asshole survivors. Or teabagging little shits.
I'm going to say, I'll say one that's kind of controversial, and it's one I see in Dead by Daylight, and I see it in a lot of games, and I think it's getting to be a little bit of a tired expression to the point where I think people use it sometimes to be toxic. I'm going to say GG is
really?
Overused.
Yeah.
I think
it's just sort of like a tradition now, like just, GGS or...
I feel like if you want to, like, it would mean 10 times more if you actually typed out good game, and then I'd know you meant it. Because I think there's some people that, like, let's take Dead by Daylight, for instance. They fucking wipe the floor with the survivors, then the killer puts GG, happy face, when it's like, bitch, you're just saying that because you won, you know?
I appreciate the ones that'll actually be upfront and say GG easy.
Oh, no, I think that's the worst. When people say GG easy.
At least I know that they're being sarcastic shits.
Okay. So you know, I get what you mean.
It quantifies it for me.
Yes. Ooh, Loki, let me let you go and then I'm going to read the chat because chat said one. I'm like, oh, that's a good one too.
For me, it's always, well, overused in our games at least, is, WB and TY, because everyone logging on, welcome back. Thank you. I don't know. I can't really think of anything that's like super overused aside from, Pog, I guess Poggers.
I was going to say Poggers too, as I'm like, I don't.
I think it's like, I get it.
Pogs were those little discs in the 90s.
No. Well, like, I get the meaning is, but I think it's like everything is not Pog. Like, it's just like. That could be cool, but it's not like, oh my god.
It's VOG. It's VOGers.
All is VOG.
See, we could have gotten so much more traffic if we just called ourselves POG Network.
Yeah, the instead of the Voice of Geeks Network, the Pantomime of Geeks Network, I guess. I don't know. What other word starts with P? Is there a POG
Personification of Geek.
There's got to be a POG Network. They're our enemy. I support all networks except that one. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know if there is a POG network or what they have. Anyway, let's see. Some comments from chat. Bobby Blackwolf and Mike Def both said F is the most overused thing. Yeah, F is a good one. Although, I kind of like that emoji. I know one of you has it that's like an F on a gravestone. That one's kind of funny. Tiger Claw says, how about LOL? That's overused. I don't think that's unique to gaming.
That's not gaming.
But I'm also guilty of it. I will admit, I do sometimes look at my text and I'm like, I say LOL a lot. But to me, I think sometimes when I say LOL, it's to kind of like emphasize that like I'm saying this in a positive way. Like I'm not saying this to be a dick or something like this or whatever. Like, you know, that's funny, LOL. I don't know. Let's see. I'm looking. Fifth Dream says, thank you for your continued support and please look forward to it. Meaning we fucked up. Thanks for not abandoning it. And don't hold your breath, respectively. I like that.
Or just anything with a roadmap.
All right. Mm. Oh, SSGO100 Matt has linked me to a Twitter account for POG Network.
What?
I want to see what they do. They probably have like 10 times the followers. Oh, no, they only have 54 followers. Oh, they're League of Legends streamers. All right, cool. Poggers. All right. Well, there's there.
I'm
you know what?
My cease and desist right now.
Because they're a small network, and they're not they haven't broke through in a way and overused the way that acronym has. I'll say, all right, as long as you're not toxic shitbags in League of Legends, because if you think Dead by Daylight's bad, play a match in League of Legends. My God. So as long as y'all are keeping it positive, then I will say you don't have to be our enemy anymore, Pog Network. Okay. All right.
I'll put it this way. I've just had a few people that I know who play Survivor, and I'm like, if you see a plague wearing this cosmetic, be nice.
Because it might be you.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as I know,
I was watching somebody, and they went up against a plague, and somebody in chat said, is this Dark Sakura? And I was like,
yeah,
she's fucking everywhere.
Well, no, it was Tay's channel.
Okay, it probably was Tay's channel. Yeah.
I told Tay, if you see a plague, be nice. And then I sent, when I got back, he's like, we went against a plague, but I don't think it was you. Because you let people find stuff. And I was like, it probably wasn't me. And then I sent a picture of what my cosmetic looks like.
There you go. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. All right. That's it for mailbag. Let's get to, do you have any last minute stories, Loki? And if you guys have any questions in chat, please feel free to type away in chat. I will get as well to some of our Discord submissions for this week. Loki.
Yeah. I did want to mention that there is that bundle that's available on itch.io for Support Palestine.
Oh my God. We didn't put that in our show roll. I'm so sorry. This wasn't in the show roll.
For $5. So, you know, that's a pretty good price. So, yeah. Thousand. I should say it's not all games. There's assets and stuff in there too, but there's a lot of games in there. So check it out. And I know that there's some Nestmaker games in there as well, because they posted that in our little community.
Cool. Anything else? I haven't got the channel up yet. Here, I'm working on it.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else that's worth mentioning. I'm sure we're gonna have lots of stuff this week.
In completely, like, not even news, I learned that Kana-chan is on TikTok, and that makes me happy because she's adorable. As in the wrestler Asuka.
How do I use TikTok? Like, I have a TikTok, and I posted one thing to it Halloween of 2019 that, looking back, isn't even that funny. Like, what do I post on TikTok?
I have four Dead by Daylight clips, and then me watching Asuka on TV.
Okay. I guess I have seen a lot of Twitch streamers trying to, like, put clips from their streams as TikToks, which is interesting. I mean, I guess it's a good way to promote, I guess. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so. I only have a hand. I mean, my TikTok is, I think, Dark Sakura.
I just need to do more streaming.
So, I mean, if someone wants hold on, I'm actually going to see what the hell my TikTok is called. Dark Sakura _OLR.
I'm pretty sure I'm Rob Roberts, but don't follow me. I don't post anything.
y'all can follow me and then teach me the ways of the Tiki Talks.
Yeah. The Tic Tacs.
The Tic Tacs.
I love Tic Tacs.
More like TikToxic.
I'm sorry. The only time I hear TikTok, I can only think of Return to Oz.
Oh God! Yes,
I think of Catching Fire, TikTok.
You know, somebody. I'm sure it's been done, but somebody needs to post that character TikTok from Return to Oz on TikTok and say, "Hey, I heard you like TikToks." Like, surely has that been done? Surely,
I'm sure
someone did that.
Done.
Someone did that, right?
Someone's gonna be corny enough to do that. Yeah.
All right.
You know, I saw that in the theater, Rob.
Oh, so did I. I saw it at the Discount Theater.
I saw it when it premiered.
So for you locals, so we're based out of Sacramento, California, and I know there's a few of you that are local that listen, because you're kind of like, it's really surreal to hear you guys talk about local places on the show. Well, I've got one for you.
I was in Alabama.
Brace yourself. I saw Return to Oz at the Harding Cinema. Anyone remember that out in Roseville, the Harding Cinema, which I think turned into a Radio Shack after they closed it? That's how big the Harding Cinema was, is that they turned it into a Radio Shack. But it was like 99-cent matinees during the day, and that's where I saw Return to Oz. So,
hey, Rob, guess what I drove by today?
What?
I mean, not today, but when Becky and I were on our way to San Francisco yesterday, because I stopped for coffee. Crestview Lanes. The sign is still there.
Oh, it's still there? Well, I'm like,
the building is long gone.
I was going to say, they probably made condos over there by now.
But the sign is still there, and I wonder if they're just going to leave it up.
Huh. I wonder, have they built anything in its place yet? Or is it still
a lot.
Weird.
Yeah, but Crestview is where, like, we would go play, Dan and I would go play Air Guys and Blazing Star.
They had
a
pretty sweet arcade, yeah.
Yeah, the arcade there was pretty tops, and they had a DDR for a hot minute.
You know what arcade I haven't been to in centuries is the 24-hour bowling alley that's still there on Watt. Country Club.
I thought the bowling alleys were all closed.
Completely different now.
It's Orange. Sacramento got promoted to Orange, so they should have reopened because bowling alleys were in that, unless for whatever reason they don't think they can follow COVID. But I think they would have reopened by now.
So since I've been there, because I did the, this was back a couple years ago at this point because of COVID, but we used to do the laser tag circuit. And so we went there to play Laser X because I haven't ever played Laser X, even though I used to go there all the time for DDR. But they completely changed up that. So they have two arcades now. They have the original arcade we used to play DDR in, which is where they have like their oversized, enormous, giant like cockpit games, which is basically what everything is nowadays. So your Jurassic Parks, your giant Nerf thing, Mario Kart. I'm trying to think what else, but like racing games and stuff like that. Then they have a whole ticket section that's shoved way back, like towards the back of the building, and they've got a whole other section with like ticket spitters.
That's where the nightclub used to be. Is where all the ticket spitters are. Yeah.
Yes.
Freeze Pop
that
played there.
That makes me sad. I used to go to the club there.
Yeah, Freeze Pop played there once, and now it's a room full of ticket spitters. Depressing.
Mm, all right. Face.
I know, right? All right. Okay. Sorry. We delved into local chat, but you know what? I'm sure a lot of these stories, honestly, you could swap the names of the places and the towns; they'd probably be very similar. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So some of y'all post stories throughout the week at our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord. And I'd like to read some of those. Tiger Claw posted in our channel. I think this is funny. The director of the Tekken games is throwing shade at Sega and challenging the Virtua Fighter team to make a new game. make a new game, you cowards. Okay, he didn't say that, but he did make a video.
It's so fun. I would love it if he did, actually. That would be hilarious.
Katsuhiro Harada posted on his personal YouTube channel about Virtua 5 Fighter Ultimate Showdown coming out, and he's always viewed surpassing Sega's series as a professional goal. I love that. And I'm on his side. Tiger Claw says, if you're into collecting Funko Pops, they just announced a Sly Cooper Pop. Anyone collect those Funko? I get them once in a great while. In fact, right next to me. Well, I guess I don't. I thought I had it next to me, but I guess not. I have a large Richard Simmons doll, but I had a Richard Simmons Funko Pop, and I couldn't pass it up.
I have a collection of Deadpools.
Do you?
I have Mermaid Deadpool, Bob Ross Deadpool, Barista Deadpool, Scooter Deadpool, because it reminds me of my favorite cover for Cable and Deadpool.
Hmm.
It's the one where they try to redo the Acura one. And I need the other two Golden Girls, but I have significant pops.
I have all the Golden Girls over off camera. So, yeah. All right. Let me do one more. And I know Darsaka, go ahead, Darsaka, if you need to bow out to sort some things before, after the show, any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Just don't be a shithole. just be a nice person, be kind, and, stay tuned for my stream.
All right.
Damn it.
Have a good night, Darsaka.
You too. Love everybody. Hearts. Bye.
All right. Don't go anywhere just yet, though, folks. We still got a little more. I've got a few more headlines I want to read for you guys here. And that would be this one. Apparently, this leak is real. There is an XCOM-style Avengers game coming from 2K. That sounds very interesting.
That sounds more interesting than the other Avengers game.
Yeah, right? That could be very interesting. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, thanks you guys for sharing some of those headlines there over at our Discord channel, vognetwork.com/discord. Are we out of last minute stories, Loki?
I think so for now, yeah.
All right. Let me see if I can sneak in one more headline here then. Let's see. apparently some folks are talking about that it's a little bit of a pain in the butt to transfer your save over with Final Fantasy VII. I didn't read too much into that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In shopping news, I guess they dated Amazon Prime Day for June 21st and 22nd. I know some people don't like to get their games from there anymore, but for those that do, there's that. I imagine there'll be some gaming sales. So that's a thing you're into. Check that out, I guess. I forgot this from Dark Tetsuya. Okay, I really like this. A Paperboy and Spy Hunter comic came out from DC. What the hell
That's
is
random.
That? Is it? Spy Hunter and Paperboy. But interesting, because Tiger Claw replied to that and said, I don't see anywhere mentioned that it's based on the games. But why else would you combine those two things? And it's clearly a Paperboy and like a dude in the car that looks like Spy Hunter. That's kind of weird. Very, very weird. SSGO100 Matt in chat says, question, what is the status of the show being in person again? No pressure, just curious. I thought there was a date, but I forgot it. There is not a date yet. Hopefully we'll have news on that in the near future. There's a lot of changes going on behind the scenes and stuff, so I just don't know when that's going to happen yet, but hopefully soonish. So, all right. Let's see. Pod Culture says he just found my TikTok. I said, don't follow me. He's in a suit and tie because it was, listen to the TikTok. It was a Halloween costume that I put together in 5 minutes. That should be obvious. So, all right. Orange Wright in chat says Midway Arcade Collection. Nah, Midway Comics Universe. Okay. There's that. So, all right. I think that'll do it. Let's wrap things up. So thank you guys very much for listening to and supporting Orange Lounge Radio. Hey, if you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But as long as your voice is let me start over. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here. So tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, and we really appreciate that. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show goes an awful long way. If you feel so inclined, we have a shop where you can buy some merchandise, vognetwork.com/shop. I keep pestering Jamie to add stuff to it because she launched her own shop. And so
those designs I sent you like a long time ago. Remember the pixel art Vogue thing?
You are absolutely right. I need to get on that. You sent me an in progress Vogue one, right? You finished a Vogue one?
No, I thought that was the finished one.
Let me just double check because I only remember seeing one in progress. But you know what, Loki? Mm. It is with everything that happened in the past year, I absolutely could have slipped. So it sounds
I have a finished one if you don't have it.
Something new coming soon, it sounds like. So stay tuned for that. Vognetwork.com/shop. I think that's really it. I guess we can get final thoughts this one. Thank you for being here and listening to the whole show. I know it was a little bit slower of a news week, but we're on the eve of E3/ the big June announcements, I think is really the better name for it. Now that we have Summer Games Fest and all these other things in the mix, we're the week before the big June announcements. So it's going to be a fun week and we'll have lots and lots to talk about next week. I'm really excited for it. So Loki, why don't you give us your final thought tonight?
It's going to be a very busy week for me and a very exciting week as well. So
I'm excited for you.
Look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Yeah, very excited to hear how it goes. Even if we got to talk a lot about Xbox and Bethesda as well next week, for sure.
Yes.
I don't know if I have a lot to say, but my final thought is I'm going to try to get on some more creation in this next week as well and get my own community. Like Loki's found his and Darksocker's found hers and so forth. So there you go. That's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.